Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday. I'm your host, Lavina Polite, and we will have a special guest joining us this evening. Elder Keith Michael will be joining us shortly. But before we get started, I just would like to open up in prayer. Father God, I just come to you with an humble prayer, just asking you to just protect and encourage our special guest that will be joining us this evening, Father God, as well as the GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, Crossroad Temple, And also, Father God, just from the CEO, Richard Shaw Archibald, down to all of the hosts and all of the members of GQ Palace, just continue to encourage them, uplift them, and just motivate them in their daily struggle with life itself, Father God. Father God, I also just come to you asking you to heal any of the broken hearts of our callers and our listeners, Father God, for someone is going through a struggle, and I'm sure that you are the only one that can connect with them. But making such a found us, making such a format for a spiritual Sunday that we hope and pray that we'll be able to touch and uplift someone on the call this evening, Father God. Father God, we also just come to you just asking you to continue to motivate us and use us as an instrument to deliver the message that you are called, that you have called us to do, and deliver the message correctly amongst all the callers, the listeners, and anyone that we might come into contact with. For a smile, just a smile can uplift someone and can help someone with their daily struggle, Father God. Father God, we just come to you just asking you to continue to heal Chriselle Langhorn and Corey Woodley, Father God, for they were in the car accident, and we know that you are the only one that is in the healing business, and you're able to, you know, heal them, Father God. You're able to make them whole. You're able to touch the doctor's hands that's going to be delivering surgery that they need, Father God. We just ask you just to continue to just do everything that you have done, and we thank you for everything you have done and you will continue to do for us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we bring on our special guests and start taking callers, we're just going to go to a song, and then we'll come back on the air and we'll start the show. Amen. GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, and I do want to bring on our special guest this evening. Elder Keith Michael is definitely here joining us, so I'd like to welcome him to the show.
God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Thank you. It's a great opportunity to be in the presence of God, whether it be physically or over the radio. God is a great God, and it's just such a blessing that I came onto the line tonight and I heard that song. Like most of us, we all go through certain things and we need some kind of encouragement, and you blessed me just that quick, just a little bit of time that I've been on the phone line. But that song is just so special to me, so special to me. And God is a great God.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll definitely like to welcome you for taking your time out and joining us this evening. Would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name, like you said, is Elder Keith Michael. I'm an elder who works out of the Great House of God out of South Jamaica, Queens. Church is called Full Gospel Missions, Church of God in Christ. I'm under the teachings of Bishop Jerome Norman, who is an awesome man of God. And just recently, last year in August, I was ordained to the title of elder. But I've been chasing after God, and I've been saved for the last 13 years of my life. And God is just so good. When you try it all else, but God, you don't have to try. He's going to do it. Whatever he has for you, the Bible says, God has something. What God has for me is for me. And I receive that. And I'm just all tied up and working for the Lord. I'm all about God's business.
Amen. Amen. Well, we do welcome you. We're going to bring on our first caller.
Okay.
Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Angelus Martha. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hi, Angelus Martha. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm
no
tired.
Yeah, no, that's right.
I am tired. I'm tired today. I am tired.
You should be able to rest in the arms of the Lord. That's right. I'm going to try and get some sleep later on.
It's been stressful, though. But how you doing, Martha? You all right? How was your week?
It was interesting. It was interesting.
Okay.
Very. Got in a little... I guess there was a threat at the school. Somebody had threatened to kill one of the teachers.
Wow.
And I just started praying right then and there, and you know, it's been hard for the kids, you know, it's been hard for the students. And it's just the devil just tried to attack one of the teachers, and I said, you know, don't worry about it. God's not going to let it happen. And it didn't happen, and I thank and praise God, because we could have had a threat that it should have been going on, but God is so good. He protects us. He protected us, and I said exactly what he said he was going to do. You know, God is good. I talked to my brother the other day. He's doing much better, even though he's still in the process of getting well. But I thank God for everything that he's doing and what he's about to do in my life. God bless you.
God bless you, sis.
Well, I want to just start off by saying that was definitely a wonderful thing that you did speak to your brother, of course. You know, and of course, and you've been, I'm sure you've been praying for him, because I remember initially, you know, when you came on the air months ago, you know, you were, you know, talking about him. So I think it's great that you actually spoke to him and that he's, you know, getting the help that he needs. You know, that's definitely, you know, a wonderful thing. And, you know, of course, you're always able to, you know, sit, because you're a strong woman of God. You can sit and pray instantly, you know, right on the spot. You know, so I definitely want to encourage you, you know, for that. But I want to ask you, how's school coming along, though, besides,
you know,
the, you know, the threat? How is it?
You know, I can't complain. It's good. My grades are good. You know, I'm getting a scholarship. My credits is going up. My credits is going up. They said that I officially might be going in honor classes next year. God is, he's working. Because if it wasn't for God, I would have got a D on one of my classes, but God saw fit that he would help me on my test, and I passed all my tests, even though I didn't really study on one of them. But I thank and praise God that he never let me miss no homework this year, no classwork, no school this year. I didn't miss nothing. So I thank and praise God, which makes my credits go up by not missing school, being on time for school. You know, this is, I mean, it's just like a job. But I thank God for just allowing me to be it like that.
Sister Lavina, may I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, as I'm sitting here and I'm hearing the young lady talk, God is telling me that everything that he has for her is for her. And what I believe that means is this threat that happened in your school today was something that the enemy tried to put in place because he's mad at what God is about to do with you.
Right.
You have great things in store for you that's coming your way, and the enemy is mad. Now, my advice to you is for you to keep making him mad, because God is a great God, and he's worthy. He is worthy
Amen.
To fulfill and capable to fulfill everything that you want to have. As a matter of fact, you already got it. He's telling me right now it's already done. And we're going to, I want you and your friends in your school and teachers in your school to rebuke the devil, because there's strength in numbers. And we know that the devil is a liar and that no weapons formed shall prosper against you. You're already going to get your victory because you have your path and it's already laid before you, and all you got to do is walk in it, sister. Walk in it.
That's right. Amen. Sister Lavina,
yes.
I said you're going to get peaceful sleep tonight. And I don't know why he said it, but he said just rest in the arms of him and he'll make it just fine. Don't worry about anything. He said he got it. He said cast your cares upon him and he will sustain you, for the righteous shall not be moved. Proverbs 55:22.
Amen.
No. I rebuke whatever it is that is trying to hinder you from sleeping, whether you might be up just watching TV or something. No, I pray that, no, I speak in the name of Jesus that you will get sleep.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And you know, that's weird, though, because I've been tossing and turning the last couple nights, and I haven't really been sleeping too good. So that is something.
Sister Lavina, it sounds like God wants you to do something. And you,
yes,
are you prolonging
your word. Start reading your word before you go to sleep.
Oh, I believe she's doing that, sis. I believe she's doing
that. But, you know,
but there's something else. There's something.
Go ahead.
But I think there's something. I don't know why we're getting this feeling, but there's something that he's asking you to do. He's been asking you to do, and you've been prolonging, and other things have been distracting you from getting it done.
Amen.
Am I wrong? You can tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
You're not wrong. Because I was going through, you know, a lot within like the last couple weeks, and you know, I've been really down, so I've been, you know, my mind's been going a mile a minute, and I'm praying and I'm reading, and everything is just, you know, like piled up on top of me, and at the same time it's keeping me up at night, you know, where I can lay down and I might doze off for maybe like an hour, but then I'm up and then I have to get back up again. So I've been up. That's why I said, you know, it's definitely it's no accident, you know, that Martha was able, Evangelist Stevens was able to actually, you know, pick that up, and that, you know, God was giving you a message as well, because it's the truth, you know. I you're right. That's all I could say. That's all I can say.
you don't need to share whatever whatever the situation is, but as long as you keep God first, all else will fall into place.
Yes.
Well.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. I can take it. I can take it. But it's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, other people that, you know me, you know, they'll call me and they just tell me smiling. You know, my friend will say, you know, sis, you smiling today? I'm like, oh, I'm all right, you know, because I've been stressed a little bit, and then, you know, personal, and then stressed at work because I work with children, teenage girls. And it's been a struggle. Like, when I tell you, every single day, I work at a psych hospital, and, you know, the girls have been out of control and fighting, and, you know, and I've been finding myself praying more, you know, while I'm at work, when I go on my break. I've been praying more, you know, just hoping, you know, that they'll be willing to, you know, listen to the message that God is giving them. You know,
yes.
And
Amen.
A lot of them need to be, you know, more leaders and followers, and that's been, you know, bothering me, you know, as well, because, you know, in the facility that I work in, I deal with between the ages of, like, they're from 13 to 18 years old, and there's about 17 of them, you know, and it's a lot, you know, it's a lot to handle, and, you know, all the bosses and everything, they're all like, oh, you know, this unit is, you know, one of the best units, all the other units should be like this unit, you know, the girls, and I just say to myself, like, oh my God, like, I'm getting tired, you know, I'm getting tired of wrestling with these girls every day, you got to get physical, you know, and I'm listening to them, and I'm accepting the praise that they're giving us, you know, it's just, at the same time, they come at the end. You know, they're not there when the initial, you know, blows start to go. You know, they're not right there. You know, they're away, you know, or they're in their office looking, you know, through the cameras, and they can see what's going on. But it's a lot. I felt good that they were actually trying to, like, recognize us. Like, listen, you know, you guys are the model unit. You're doing what you have to do. And then in return, everybody looked at me because I'm the lead. And they're like, all right, well, you're right there, you know, because I'm underneath the nurses and I try to make sure everything is in order, you know. But I owe all that to God because I'm praying constantly, you know. I'm praying constantly, and, you know, we have the girls that are, like, depressed, and then we have the girls that are, you know, suicidal. We got the ones that try and, you know, do the self-harm, and then we got the behavioral ones, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all of them combined together, and that's what makes it so much tension, you know,
every day.
You know, we have the ones that they grew up in the streets, you know, where they went from foster home to, you know, hospital to hospital, and now they're back with us waiting for another hospital, you know, until they go there. So, you know, a lot of them, you know, they gave up, you know. They're like, listen, I know what my life is. My life is going to be in a hospital. I don't care no more, you know, and I find myself trying to encourage everybody. You know, but then when I get, like, down, you know, myself, I'm still encouraging everybody, and I could just tell with, like, the way I walk and the way I talk that I'm encouraging everybody, but at the same time, I have to pray for myself.
You need to encourage yourself.
And I need to, you know, constantly. And that's a struggle for me because that's harder, because I believe that the assignment that I'm on, you know, is to continue to, you know, do the work that I'm doing. But at the same time, you know, your hands are tied to a certain extent of what you can and can't do, you know. So it's a lot, and I've been stressed out with it. And at this job, I've been hurt a couple times, you know, because we got to get physical. And physical, when you walk in at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm still trying to finish my cup of coffee. It's a lot, you know.
Right.
Everybody laughs at me because I'm like, listen, if it's going to be trouble, let me pray and let me finish my coffee real fast. And then I'm ready, you know, and they all laugh, but they understand that if I don't pray first, I can't function. If I can't pray and then have my coffee, then I'm really no good to you at that point, because I'm in a zone at that point. You know, and when you got to take charge and you got to do what you got to do, sometimes I think that I need to be fully equipped. So I find myself tossing and turning, you know, with my job. Like, okay, is this really the job that I'm supposed to be at? You know, am I still able to do my best at this job with the difference in the population and the difference in the way the hospital has it designed? So it's kind of complicated, you know, but I'm trying to, you know, at the same time, I'm trying to learning more to lean more to God and just trust him. Like, all right,
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
And I'm working on that, you know, cause it's hard because, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand, like when you start quoting scriptures from the Bible, you know, and I could find myself at work and then one of my coworkers will just start babbling on. I'm like, did you pray today? Did you read today? I'm going to my car to get my Bible. I'm going to give it to you. Because you just so negative right now, I can't help you right now. And when I find myself overwhelmed like that, that's the snap that I do. Like, okay, we didn't pray together, but I know you prayed before you even put your feet on the floor this morning, right?
Well,
you know, because it ain't no way you could walk in at 8 o'clock in the morning and you negative from the night before.
That's
and
right.
How is that? You know, so I'm going through a lot, you know, that's just the work portion of it. But I'm going through a lot, but at the same time, I'm praying and, you know, I thank everybody for praying for me and trying to encourage
me.
You know, I'm thankful. You know, I'm truly thankful.
Yes.
I'm thankful for that.
Keep on going.
You know,
well, you know, whenever you do need that additional prayer, you can always reach out to your brother. You know that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Cause sometimes I need it, you know, and I just say, you know, okay, you know, my girlfriends will text me, oh, I love you. Just tell me I love you today. And I'm saying to myself, all right, but please don't call me with your problems because I got my own, you know. But I know that's the devil right there. I know that's the devil.
That's right.
Because
the
Lavina that gets up in the morning and I pray constantly, you know, as I'm going to work, my girlfriend will call me. I'm like, listen, did you pray first? Because before we have this conversation, did we pray? And now I had to, you know, I spoke about her on the show last time, and I said, you know, she always calls me with her problems, but she never said, hey, sis, how you doing? You know,
exactly.
How's your day?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I spoke to her about it, and now she's been asking me, but then I told her, you don't really want to know. You just want me to say, yes, I'm fine, so that you can tell me your problems.
That's right.
You know.
You say, I'm fine. Oh, guess what happened to me today? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. But what we're going to do is we're just going to go through a song, and then we're going to come back on the air so everyone can just hold the line. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go get 'em.
Give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. Come on, that love that'll never change. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that, give me that.
Oh, anybody ready? Ready for his glory.
Uh-oh.
If you are sick of a life,
uh-oh,
let me tell you the story.
Uh-oh.
Every place that's dark,
uh-oh,
he will bring it to light.
Uh-oh.
Hypocritical hearts, backsliders, liars, time to get right.
Uh-oh.
See, I include myself.
Uh-oh.
I cast my own stone.
Uh-oh.
I'm the man in the mirror, y'all.
Uh-oh.
I can see my Christ by faith.
Uh-oh.
I had to make that choice. I had to open up my mouth and say,
give me that joy I can't explain. Add extra peace that'll ease my pain. Want that love that'll never change. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Give me that power to walk away when another God wants to take your place. As much of you as I can take. Give me that,
give me that,
give me that.
Uh-oh.
Anybody tired?
Uh-oh.
You want the show to end?
Uh-oh.
Get the actors off stage.
Uh-oh.
And let church begin.
Uh-oh.
Do hear new songs. See, God is cleaning up house. At first he started right at home. No more miracle water. Wear clothes for money and fame. See, everybody got a title. But do you know your name? If we humble ourselves, people fall on our face and ask God everything in me that's not right, take it away.
Welcome back to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Is everyone still there?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We're going to bring on another caller. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Pastor Teresa Younger.
Hi, Pastor Teresa Younger. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you all tonight?
Blessed. God bless you, Lady of God.
Praise God.
Would you like to share your testimony or say what you're thankful for?
Yes. I'm thankful, first of all, for life, health, and strength. There were so many accidents, so many deaths that occurred, but today my family and I are safe. This is not a testimony of mine, but something that happened close to home, and I wanted to share it, if that's okay.
Okay.
Down in Union, South Carolina, it's a neighboring city to where I live, there is a woman. She was the director over the Department of Social Services there. And, you know, she approved funding. She approved adoptions. She took an oath to serve and protect. She worked, again, for the Department of Social Services. Well, she lived in a secluded area, her and her husband, and they had 4 foster children of their own. Now, the secluded area is off in the woods, so neighbors are not around. They can't be seen. Okay, well, she had the 4 foster children sleeping on the porch. They were chained on their ankles, and she had some kind of dead chicken around their neck, some kind of voodoo stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, a pot-bellied pig that belonged to a neighbor who stayed probably about a mile or so up the road got away and ran in that direction. So the neighbor who chased the pot-bellied pig got into her yard and saw the 4 children that were chained on the porch. And so, of course, they called the police, and the police came and found the 4 children there and 2 other children inside the home that was chained to the bed. And the thing is, what I would like to believe is those children, you know, God says, do not harm my little children. I will cover them. I will protect them. And I truly believe that the Lord led that pig that way, you know, for that neighbor to chase that pig and to come to those children's rescue. You know, when nothing else that we could do, God can do all things but fail us. Things happen that we cannot explain, but God will still come to our rescue. And mm-hmm. I want to praise God for the animal being able to lead that person over there to come to the rescue of those children. They were safe. They were they suffered from malnutrition and hypothermia, but they will heal. They're okay. No one lost their lives. Those 2 adults were arrested, and they have a multi-million-dollar bond. So they're going to be brought to justice. So I want to just call in and thank God for saving those children from what mm-hmm. could have been a worse situation.
Yes.
I want to share that. And it was strange how they were rescued. Yeah. A pot-bellied pig got off of his leash, and a neighbor wow. came. So you never know how God is going to do things sometimes.
That's
we might
right.
be, a lot of us complain. You know, we go through all kinds of situations, and it looks
yeah.
impossible. But if you can just pray and trust God, you never know who he will send to rescue you. You never
That's
know
right.
what happens. So I just wanted to share that. That was so special to me. And thank you all for listening. God bless you all. Those of you who know the words of prayer, pray my strength in the Lord. Amen.
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 Wow.
But, you know, they do say that, you know, God is going to work in mysterious ways, and that was
that's
a mysterious
right.
way, because who would have thought, you know
yes,
what I mean? But
that is
that's
the,
right.
I believe that he can work through anything, anybody, any animal, you name it. I believe that if it's his work, it shall be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Amen.
Don't you find that so awesome how God uses animals consistently? He'll use animals to get his word through.
Mm-hmm.
He used the donkey, he used the lion, he used animal after animal, and he got what he wanted done accomplished. But I'm going to keep those kids in prayer. I'm going to keep those kids
yes.
in prayer.
Yes. I know that's
right. And, but, you know,
wow.
I want to just point out one thing, because I know everyone always looks at me funny when I say it, but it never seems to amaze me how people bring these children into their home, and I'm going to say
mm-hmm.
they have such power because somebody approved for them to get the kids, okay?
That's right.
And it goes back to me talking about my place of employment. where these kids come from foster homes. These kids come from different facilities, and God is protecting them because they allow, he calls the shots to remove them out of that situation, you know,
That's
out of
right.
harm's way completely. And my question is, how should I word it to them to get them to understand that that's God removing you out of that situation, especially when most of them don't believe in God anymore at this point, because a lot of them have been raped, they've been abused, and they feel like God let them down. So without me being very spiritual with them, okay, what would be the best way to word something like that?
Oh, Lord.
Okay,
I'm asking. You want to answer that first? Oh, well. You talking to me?
Uh-huh.
Well, can I say that as a child point of view and adult point of view?
Sure,
yes,
sure.
Okay. me being 15, I would probably say, well, this is what happened, and I'm just going to let it go. That's what I would do as a 15, not let it go, but, you know, that's what an adult would say. But a child would say, you know, this is what happened to me, okay, then I should die. Because that's mostly how little kids think, especially teenagers, you know. I mean, being in a situation like that, I can't imagine how it would be like. But I can't tell you that it's something, because I have been raped. I've been through the situation. I've never been through that one, but, you know, I have been raped, and, you know, this is I mean, me, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna let it go. So it put too much anger, and that's what teenagers do. It put anger. So if that's my point of view. That's enough.
I would love a chance to respond if I could.
I was actually going to ask you also, Pastor Younger, because my question I was going to say to you was a question that I did just ask, but if you could speak to the children, what would you say to them to encourage them and to uplift them?
Oh, praise God. I say that you first of all have to learn who God is, know that you're going to go through things in this world, and it's not because you're always in the wrong or that you're in the right. It's just because you are a creation of God. The devil will not like you. And so what you have to always remember is you can always do your best.
That's your best.
Don't get so caught up in what people are thinking of you or what they're saying about you, because someone is always going to say something and someone's always going to do something that you don't like. But you have to understand where your power comes from, and it's not going to be in money. It's not going to be in anything material. It's going to be in your prayer, in your belief in God, because no matter where you land in this life, whether you're in school, on a job, even if you're incarcerated, no one can take away your ability to believe and what you believe in. And to answer as far as what you said, Lavinia, of how not to be spiritual, the thing is, I understand exactly what you're saying. Trust me, I go through that a lot on my ministry call. But you cannot reach a person in a positive way without being spiritual. Never leave God out of it. Whether they decide to accept it or not, that's on them. But that's your covering, because you're a woman of God. That's why when people try to come against, even DQ Palace, you know, so many evil spirits don't want this particular avenue you have to go forth. But because you pray, because you trust God and you keep listening to his voice and doing what you do, that's why you keep on going, and that's why your call is going to continue to grow the way it grows. Your covering, that's your safety net. Your breastplate is righteousness. So we can't leave God out of it, because without him, nothing is possible. But with him,
nothing is
impossible.
Everything's possible. That's right.
You got to remember, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What you was going to say?
No, I was going to say, with the children, you know, they're from the ages of 12 to 18 years old. So to me, what I found is with dealing with them and dealing with them from the youngest one to the oldest one, I always include God in the message that I'm saying, because I'm saying it because it's the message that he's giving to me.
That's
but
right.
When you speak to these children, if they already don't have the hope, you don't want to bring the Bible to them and give scriptures to them. They want to hear real life. They want to know
that
you can relate to what they're going through. So this way you don't seem like, okay, well, you're a hypocrite because you might have did X, Y, and Z when you were younger, and now you're older and you're saved and you're no longer doing it. And the reason I say that is because one of the other adults came to the child and, you know, spoke to her, but she kind of came off like, okay, well, I used to do it, but I'm saved now. And I don't do those things no more. So when she came with the, you know, with that type of attitude, it kind of changed the child's opinion completely. And the guy, you know, the child said, okay, well, where was God when I was raped? You know, where was God when I was molested? You know, so it came into a deeper conversation, you know, but my thing is that I look for words that I know that can keep them interested in what I'm saying, you know,
because
most of them are not believers anymore. So I can't say, well, you know, God told me to give you this message, you know, because they're going to look at me like, what? You know, well, wait a minute. Where was he?
Well,
you know, so I have to go ahead, Elder.
You know what, Lavina, you really don't have to open the conversation up with that. To me, I think personally, like when I go speak to these young men at these boys group homes and stuff, there's a place in Brooklyn I used to go to called Crossroads. And I used to go to Crossroads and I used to talk to these young men, and from the moment they see me, they look at me and they're like, oh God, this brother, I'm 47 years old, but these young men are looking at me like, oh, this dude is just like us. Because I got the tattoos on the arms. I got that, you know, I used to wear the chains and all that stuff like that. But the thing about it is they felt that I know I can relate to them, and they felt they can relate to me just by the look, just by a vision of what they see before them. But what young people have to understand is that it's like I said in the beginning of the conversation when we first made the phone call. When you come to Christ, everything else is going to fall into place. And after they've already tried everything else that they're dealing with, it's not to be not sympathetic. I empathize more than I sympathize, because there's a lot of things that they go through that I've went through. But I got to show them and be the sample that I can relate. You have to show that you can relate to what they're dealing with. And once they see that you've experienced something similar, right away you made a connection. And then once you make that connection, you introduce them to who Christ is.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's how I would do it. That's how I would do it. Is your workplace in New York?
Yes, it is. And I'm gonna inbox you, because I'm in New York. I'm in Long Island right now, but my workplace is in Long Island. And
that's okay.
I spoke to a couple different people just trying to find out, okay, well, you know, if I can, you know, form a couple people to come in, you know, and they could sit and they can talk to the kids, because a lot of the other girls that had come in before, they wanted to charge like a ridiculous amount of money, and then of course the job fit is not in the budget, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So of course everyone worries about the budget, but my thing is I just want people to be able to, you know, speak to them and don't judge them. You know, because and what I'm learning with them is I watch how other people speak to the kids, and then they look at me like, all right, well, Miss Polite, how can you relate to them? Because you're lying to them. My thing is I'm not a liar. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. I'm going to put it right in the forefront. I'm going to show you whatever it is I'm telling you. I'm going to show you exactly where I got my information from. That's the difference, you know. And with me, my hands are kind of tied to a certain extent, because I'm not the doctor, I'm not the social worker, you know, and I'm not the counselor. So therefore, the people that's supposed to be able to deliver the message to them and encourage them, they're more like, okay, well, I don't believe that what you're saying, because, you know, you have a history of lying. Okay, you may be right, but at the end of the day, if this is what the person is saying, why can't you listen to what they're saying without judging them first? You know, they're not going to open up to you. And then most of them look at me like, well, how did you know that? Because I spoke to the child. I spoke to them. I have a relationship with them, and they're able to come to me from the minute I walk in that door in the morning. They'll say, "Miss Polite,
that's
how
right.
you doing? You feeling okay, Miss Polite?" Because I don't lie to them, you know. And
mm-hmm.
that's why, like, when we have the question of, okay, you know, well, what's your position? You know, to me, I think this is where I need to be. It's something that I've been doing for a long time since I was a teen mother. I've been talking to kids.
Mm-hmm.
I've been encouraging kids. It's something that I enjoy doing, but at the same time, I just want to make sure that when I'm not there, somebody else should step up and do something, because that
that's
means
right.
that we have a population and we have the youth right there that's falling apart because they feel that nobody can help them. You know,
that's
their hands
right.
are tied. But everybody, let me just bring on one more caller while we're all talking. Welcome to Gigi Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Good evening. This is Dave. I wanted to say bless everyone, and we have some very powerful responses here tonight. I just wanted to chime in because this is kind of where the message was earlier at our church today, and it had to do with conviction and condemnation. And I was raised to believe that, like, the Holy Spirit actually convicted you of the things that you were doing that were not within alignment with God. However, that was a misconception. And the misconception is that when you're dealing with children, you don't want to condemn or convict them into anything that happened to them, because
mm-hmm.
they're already fragile because of what's happening. What we have to do is show them the love, that agape love that God has shown us. Perfect example is if you have a daughter that ran away and she got into prostitution and she's out there, when you go out there, you don't see her and say, "Oh, look at you. You're disgusting. Look, you're ridiculous. You're nasty." You don't want to do that. You want to say to her, "You know what? We all fall short. We all mess up. I myself have messed up, and I love you just the way you are. I want you to come home. We can make this. We can make a better way out of this." And this is the kind of love you show her, because we all know John 3:16, but we also have to go one step further and go to 17 and 18, where it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And the ones that are condemned are the non-believers, because it says, "He that believeth not on Him is already condemned." Now, these children, if they are not believing, basically are somewhat already condemned. And the prince of the ear is using this to get to them, because he knows at that vulnerable age, if he can get to them in their head and make them feel like they're nothing, then he has already won. Because now it takes an army to come in and undo what he did with just one situation. My thing is, when I deal with children, I let them know first off, there are good and bad people in this world. We will come across both good and bad. But how we deal with it and the structure that we have to help us along makes the difference in how we heal with this. Now, we are all disciples. We are all disciples. We are all saints. And with the proper training, with the proper reading and teaching, we can all go out there and help these kids. Because they're, again, like I said, they're at a vulnerable age that they need us. I didn't get your name. I didn't, like the gentleman said, listen, they can identify with you. When you walk into the room and they see that you look like them, they can identify with you and they will open up to you. But at the same time, you need to not only be identifiable, but be able to at least guide them and teach them and show them that we are all in the same boat. God may not come to save the boat, but He will save you. And basically, that's my expression of what was being said tonight.
Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I just know, I believe that, you know, the youth is where our future is, you know, and when most of us are, you know, older, you know, we need to make sure that we are able to uplift them and encourage them and try and, you know,
amen.
Change. I always say change their mind, you know, because I know by the time they come to me, you know, their mind is already made up because they feel some kind of way, you know, and they feel some kind of way because of the struggle that they, you know, went through. And, you know, one of the girls today, perfect example, you know, I've been telling her, like, listen, you have to talk to your doctor. You have to talk to your social worker, because this way you have a say-so in where you go when you leave. You know, that's very important. Don't you care? And she made me cry, you know, because it was so touching. I met her, I want to say, about 5 years ago. And when I first met her, she was going through a struggle, you know, and then her mom was going through, like, drugs, and she was on drugs real bad. And, you know, when the daughter was doing good, the mother wasn't. When the mother's doing good, the daughter wasn't. And they got into a big argument. And when they got into a big argument, the daughter told her, why don't you just kill yourself? And it was a heated argument, you know, and I know from the moment that I met her, you know, that she didn't mean it the way she said it. It was just she was upset. And the mother was like, all right, one day I'm not going to be here. And the next day, the girl came home from school and her mother had committed suicide. So with the mother committing suicide, it took a toll, you know, on her, because she never really healed from it, because the last thing she said to her mother was, why don't you go kill yourself? And the mother went and killed herself the next day. And everyone says, oh, well, you know what, that was messed up. The mother shouldn't, you know, give her that. But it broke my heart, because 5 years later, you know, after she left, her mother passed away. She left. She went into one hospital. Then she aged out, went to another hospital. And then she went into group homes. And now she has a gun charge. So with the gun charge that she has, you know, I sit and I talk. I don't read what the book says. I quote to them and I say, you know what, if you want to talk to me, you know, I'm here. We can talk. And she opened up to me and she told me about the gun charge. And it wasn't her gun, but she did have possession of it. And because she's a minor, it wasn't registered. She ended up with a charge. So as weeks went on, the doctors kept trying to talk to her. I kept trying to tell her, like, listen, please talk to your doctor. Please talk to your doctor. Well, long story short, she's leaving tomorrow, and she's going to go to a psychiatric hospital in Queens, and she's going to go there. But today she finally broke down, and she cried, and it was like a crying session between us both, because I kept telling her, speak to the doctor, speak to the doctor. Everybody else kept saying, well, if you don't want to talk to the doctor, you don't have to. And I can't say it enough. Every single day, with all the doubles I do at my job, I said to her, speak to your doctor, speak to your social worker. And she said, they keep lying. They tell me they're going to send me one place, then they send me someplace else, you know, and they don't know where they want to send me. But what she failed to realize is, because she is a felon at this point, and because she's very promiscuous, and her mother passed away, so she's extremely angry. She's fighting and stuff. There's not many options here in New York, okay? So without right. there being that many options, and she needed a facility that was locked in. She didn't need a facility where you can walk out whenever you want to. She right. needed something that was locked in. So long story short, she's leaving tomorrow, and we sat and we cried, and, you know, she just kept giving me hugs, telling me that, you know, I should have listened to you, because you were the only one that told me to speak to my doctor, to speak to my social worker. And it hurt to me. It bothered me, because I felt like out of everybody that works at this hospital on the different shifts, why is it that no one else tried to encourage her to speak to her doctor, to speak to her social worker? So this way she had a say-so in where she was going. So now she's going someplace that she went to before, and she said she was there for 2 years. And in her mind, her attitude is, I'm going to be dead before I'm 20. I don't have a life. You know, I'm tired of living this life. My mom left me. My aunt don't come and see me. My aunt's my only relative left. You know, and it hurt me, because I felt like she's telling the truth. Out of all the time she's ever been there, the aunt never came to see her. When it's time to make phone calls, she don't even call the aunt, because she don't answer the phone. So now this is the one that said to me, if there is a God, Miss Polite, and you're telling me there's a God, why is it that my mother was able to commit suicide? And why can't I forgive her? Why can't I forgive myself? You know, and that hurt me, because I felt like what we do there is temporary. You know, it's not a facility where she's going to be there 6 months out of the year. So I do my best with them while I'm there and while they're there. But at the end of the day, this is a child that's extremely angry. Like, she's very, very angry. If you look at her, oh, she's going to yell and scream. She's going to curse you out. She's going to call you every name in the book because you looked at her the wrong way and she feels like you're judging her. But she, you know, so I say all this because our kids are the future, you know, and it does take more than one person to raise the children that we have nowadays. And
that's right.
We have to come together at some point in time. You know, we can't just say, oh, that's not my child. I don't want to deal with that child, you know, or that child is disrespectful, or that child is promiscuous, you know. We can't turn our back, you know, on them. And I felt like the place where I work, I felt like everybody didn't do their part when it came down to this one girl because she's not very approachable, you know. She can pick up the fake and the phony. She's one that, like that, and she's going to tell you, okay, well, you think you're too high class to sit down and have a talk with this ghetto chick, you know. That's how she is. You know, she definitely is very outspoken, but I said no matter how outspoken she is, they still should have did right by her. You know, when I voiced my opinion today, everybody said, well, you know, we did the best we can. You know, you have a relationship with her. Yeah, but I'm not here 24 hours a day. You know, I do my best while I'm there, but why is it that nobody else was? You guys were too busy trying to buy her stuff to keep her quiet so she don't turn up, as she said, you know? And that's the thing. I'm going to turn up. No, don't turn up. Turn down.
Right.
I need you to turn down. I need you to focus on yourself right now. And I just said to her, the last thing I said to her today, because I won't be there when she leaves in the morning, was, listen, remember, you have to pray, you know, and you have to know that God takes you out of different situations, and God is the person that allowed you to be able to come back to this hospital and take you out of that situation, because you could have had a gun, and that gun wasn't yours, as you claim, okay, the gun was not your gun, but yet, what you guys were about to do was something that you know you had no business doing, so God did that for you. You know, because you could have been dead right now. You could have been dead carrying around this gun, going around, you know, the streets with your cousins. You could have been dead. You always want to turn up. You always want to turn up. Yes, there was an unfortunate situation that took place with your mom. Yes, the communication was messed up. Yes, your mother didn't believe that she was raped at an early age. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But you know what? Nobody can take the place of your mother. But when is your healing going to start for yourself? She looked me right in the eyes and told me straight face, when I'm dead and gone, when I see my mother, that's when. When I see my mother, then I'm going to feel better. So I was lost for words. So now I'm thinking to myself tonight, like, all right, well, you know what? I wrote down a couple things, you know, and I wrote down a little letter, you know, and a little care package that I want to give her to take, you know, with her. And I'm going to get to work extra early, you know, and she don't know I'm going to be there, but I'm coming extra early. And I want to spend a little bit of time with her to let her know that she's not alone, you know. And even though she's going to another facility, that she's been there before and she felt didn't help her. But I'm looking for the right words to say it to her, you know. And when I told her today that God saved your life, you know, he did. He saved your life. Whether you agree with me or not, he saved your life. And you know I'm not a liar. I never lie to you guys. I always tell you upfront and honest exactly what it is. He saved your life. Because you don't have to tell me the end part of your story and what you was going to do with that gun. I know you know, I know what you were going to do. I know you guys were hungry. You guys were living out in the streets. You came in here with dirty clothes on. That's not you. You always have the freshest sneakers. You always have the button downs. You're always 100%. The way you came in here, that told me you were living out in the streets. I was able to bring different things out of her, and I just feel like my job didn't really help her, you know, didn't really help her because she was so angry, because she was so aggressive, you know. So it broke my heart today. It definitely broke my heart, but I'm thankful that I was able to sit and actually have that conversation with her and have that one-on-one time with her. And when she started crying, it just broke my heart because it's like you see the big bad wolf. You know, you see this big tough girl, and she's sitting there, she's always hard to everybody. She's always cursing everybody out. But to sit across from me and start crying today and tell me, you know what, you're right. I should have did it. Now I'm going someplace that I don't want to go. You know, how can you help me? Well, you know, the papers is signed already. The ambulance is picking you up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. What am I supposed to do? You know? And I kind of felt like I was lost for words because I can't get her out of the place that she's going to, you know? As much as she feels that it's not therapeutic for her, she needs a locked facility. She needs to make sure that she's able to sleep in a bed at night. She needs to make sure she's not living out in the street. She don't have to rob and steal, you know, from people to be able to survive. You know, so I'm gathering my thoughts as, you know, I'm doing the show and, you know, I wrote some things down and I just want to be able to give her different things, you know, and different scriptures that she can, you know, relate to that she is, you know, she went to church when she was younger, you know, but she felt like during her struggle of her being out in the streets while her mom was alive and her mom, you know, was on drugs real bad, she feel like God let her down, you know, and that's the unfortunate part about it. That's why I just bring it back to we got to make sure that if we could save someone's life, we save their life, you know. The lines of communication should be open with our children, so this way they'll be able to talk to us about any and everything, you know. Martha calls every single week, you know, love her dearly. She calls every week, and I made sure that I gave her my number so this way when she's in a minute, you know, she needs to talk to somebody, she can pick up my phone and she can call me. Call me right away. You need to talk to me, call me, call me, call me, call me. Because she is our future at the end of the day. You know, she's 15 years old, you know, another 5 years, she'll be 20. So at the end of the day, she has to be able to, God has gave her an assignment, and I think that here on Spiritual Sunday, we have to make sure that we continue to uplift her. You know, and like I was telling Elder Michael, we have to make sure that we uplift her, encourage her, and just motivate her, you know, because we know that the devil can be busy, especially with the teenagers that's doing the right thing and that know their scriptures from the Bible and go to church, you know. She knows all of that. So we have to make sure that we don't come, you know, at her sideways in any kind of way. We got to make sure that we, you know, talk to her like, all right, listen, you know, you shared your testimony, you shared your story with everybody, and we all hear you, we understand, and now we're going to uplift you because my mom's not here as well, you know. And I hope that I didn't, you know, bring back any flashbacks with her, you know, but at the same time, I just want her to understand that, you know, there's so many other teens out there that's in a situation similar to hers, you know, that do need to be encouraged, you know. And I have one listening that was at the facility that I worked at, and you know, she moved out, she aged out, she moved out of state, she got married, you know, and I'm trying to get her to come back to New York just for a day, you know, to just talk about her experience and her life, you know, of different things that she can bring to the table, you know. I think as adults, we should be able to relate to these kids as well. You know, we should be able to talk to them. So I come to you guys just asking you, okay, what would you do, you know, with everything, you know, that I have explained to you guys, you know, without giving names and stuff like that. What would you do in this situation? What would be your next move? Because time is of the essence, you know, with her. What would you guys do?
I would love to respond. I don't know if I would wait my turn.
You can respond. That's fine.
Okay, praise God. Lavinia, I just first of all want to thank you for being that caring person, and just because you love God is why so many people where you work at, you know, in position, doctors or whatever, didn't think enough to sit down with that child, but you did. And through everyone saying you don't have to, you thought enough to stand up and say yes. That's because of the Spirit of the Lord that's in you. When you're faced in a world of no's, you can stand up and say yes, or vice versa. So that's the reason for that, because unfortunately in this world, the majority, they won't choose God. They won't, you know, but because the select few, you know, who think enough and love God enough, that's why you don't have, even though you don't have a doctor's degree, maybe you're not a psychiatrist, but you're reaching these children and these young adolescents in a more positive way. Because you have the person who has all of that, who has the ability to go above anything we could ask or think. You have the Spirit of the Lord. So you don't need a doctor's degree. You don't need to be a psychologist or anything like that, because you have the experience of God inside of you, who's all-knowing and all-seeing. And that's why you're being so much perspective. And even though she may not always listen or agree, or they may not listen or agree, it's going inside of her heart. She's receiving, and that's why she's crying. Like the man of God, I believe he said his name was Dave, being already condemned in our flesh. We don't have comprehension or understanding without the Holy Spirit. So you're introducing the Lord in a different way. You're not bringing her a bunch of scriptures and saying God this and God that, but you're not denying him either. You're letting him, you're living by example to her. You're showing a goodness. You're being positive. And so that's what needs to happen. Like you said, the girl, she knows the scriptures. She knows this. So, and we got to understand the devil knows the scriptures. He can speak in tongues. He knows God very well. As a matter of fact, he calls on the name of the Lord to try to, you know, bewilder us. So we can write down so many scriptures. We can say this will happen or that, but we have to come to each other and come to these children with the presence of God through us. We have to always go back to our inner man, go back to who keeps us going, and that's how we're going to approach it. But not everyone is going to accept it. But the main thing to remember in this situation and all situations is all you can do is your best. All you can do is live by example, you know, and share your experiences of what God gave you. The fact that you raising your children, the fact that you witness different things, you know, and the fact that you can come and say, okay, I've been through this or I've been through that. Maybe I don't have every answer that you're looking for, but I can tell you what, if you trust God and you pray to him, this is what can happen for you. The question you have about where was God in this, ask him that. It's okay to tell him, I don't have the answer. But I don't have the answer for everything. All I know is as long as I did my best, as long as I tried every day, I always made it through. And sometimes you don't even have to say, God will do this, God will do that. You can say, if you do your best every day, because some people can't accept that. So if you can say, if you do your best every day, if you just try your best and you know you do your best to live right, then something positive will happen for you. You can do it like that. Because Jesus didn't go around always saying, I'm Jesus, I'm this, I'm that. He led by example a lot of times. So it's not that you're denying God or anything like that just because you don't use his name. And sometimes you can't come to a person with scriptures. You can just go like you go, Lavinia. You're getting so much further with them because you're going by example. You're telling them positive things. You're letting God do his work through you. And the thing is, as long as you do that, God's going to do his part. I don't know how, when, or how it's going to take place, but I know as long as you keep doing what you're doing, Lavinia, as long as you keep speaking what God tells you to say to them, and like you said, don't beat them over the head with scriptures and this, that, and the third, it's going to work out. But whether they accept them or not, you have to be okay with that. Yes, it's going to make you cry. Yes, it's going to make you mourn because you're a loving person and you want to help. So it's going to hurt. It hurts me a lot of times when young ladies don't listen to what I say when I minister to them and they go through a lot of situations. But I have to be okay with knowing I kept Ezekiel in chapter 3. I warned them like God told me to warn them. But if they don't change, they go and die in their sin, I'm still going to be blessed because I did my part. So they're not always going to accept it, but that's not your fault, you know?
No.
All you can do is what God tells you to do, and that's that. But you're doing a wonderful work. I believe great progress is being made, and I just claim we got to pray for that young lady and all of them. Pray that it's going to work out. And that's all we can do. We can pray. We can trust God. And that's all we can do. That's all we can do. That's all we're supposed to do. It's our best. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I agree with the pastor 1,000,000%. But what happens is it's the consistency thing, Pastor, where we show our interest and care, like how Sister Levine is doing, and then there comes a point where the child invests in you and trusts in you, and then they get let down. But if you keep consistency involved and show that you love and care, that's what makes the child perhaps turn the other way and turn their lives around. But I have faith in God that this young lady is already going to be changed.
Yes.
She's already going to be changed.
You know, you guys, it's amazing. I was thinking about you, Pastor. You spiritual leaders know what I'm talking about. Of Apostle Paul, when the Lord sent him on a mission to go over in the sea. Now, the Lord spoke to Paul about the storm was going to be bad, and those shipmen, they didn't want to believe him. Now, it looked so beautiful before they went out in the ocean, in the sea, and so they didn't believe him. And, y'all, we had that going on today. Because something looks one way, now you warned the person about it, but because it looks one way, they're going to go and do what they're going to do anyway. But God just put like Apostle Paul or people like you, Lavinia, in the lives of other people just because you pray for a person, just because you led by example. Don't you know we are, as followers of Christ, we are supposed to be the vessels that God is able to shine his light through. And because we're on this line, we're touching and agreeing, and we're going to pray, that's how these young people and everyone who doesn't believe are going to be able to see the glory of God revealed. It was because Apostle Paul was on that ship that all of them were able to be saved. Because if they would just stay in that ship, and this life that we live, it's a big ship. And if we can just stay in the I can't remember the name of the floorboard of it, but I'm going to call it a faith. If we can just stay in our faith and trust in God, no matter what happens around us, Lavinia, as long as you continue to stay, like the pastor said, in consistency in what you're doing, that young lady is going to do something positive in her life. She's going to, every time she comes to you and get that positive word of encouragement, that's going to be in her heart. No matter where she's going to, she's going to hold on to what you said to her because you let God use you. And so I just want you to be encouraged because as you spoke, I really felt your heart. And you, this thing is really bothering you. And I understand why, because you want that young lady to be okay. You don't just go to the job just for a check. You go because you care, and this is really, really became your purpose. And God sees that. So through your faith, just like you did with Apostle Paul and those men on that ship, God is going to move in that young lady's life. A lot of us around here, as followers of Christ, we are bearing the infirmities of those that are weak. That's Romans in chapter 15. But we must bear the infirmities of those that are weak. If you're strong enough and someone else is weak, what you're doing on this line tonight, how you're touching and agreeing, you're asking for help, you're getting spiritually refilled, that's what God wants us to do. And always remember that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. So knowing our position and when to say this or when to be silent and let God do his part. So I truly believe that this young lady is going to be saved. Everyone that's listening on this call, it's going to work out for the best because of who you are in God. God is going to do his part. All we have to do is let him.
Yes. Praise God.
I'm proud of you, Lavinia. I'm so, praise you truly, God. You have me in tears over here, y'all. I'm so proud of her. I'm
well, you
so
ain't by yourself,
you.
Pastor. You are not by yourself. I'll admit it like a man. I'm over here in tears, too. I'm not ashamed to cry. Jesus wept.
Yes. He's doing your best, Lavinia, because you're doing the right thing. You've done enough. That's all you can do. Whether she does right or not, just know that you, it's not your fault. You did what you had to do, and that's all that matters. You did your best.
Yeah, I just have to remind myself of that I did my best, you know. And
always.
Because I deal with so many, you know, on a daily basis, is, you know, they call you in different directions, you know, to help this one, to help this one, to help this one. And, like, I have so many different, I say projects, you know, because it's so many of them that on a daily basis I have to sit and I have to, you know, be with and talk. And, you know, one of the girls like to play, like, Rummy 5000. I think she made that up. It's a card game. You know, I think she made it up, but because she comes from, like, different facilities and stuff, they don't have, you know, a lot of money. So what they do is they play card games, you know, and it's like, it's not gambling card games. It's just, you know, three of a kind and stuff like that. And she taught me how to play it. And now it's like my assignment. Every day I have to play it, you know. And I do. Like, you going to play cards with me, Mr. Light? Come on, you promise. You know, it's like that. And these aren't little kids. I mean, some of these girls, you know, they can tell you a lot of things, you know, and that's why I think it's important not to lie to them. I think it's very important that you're upfront with them.
Right.
You know, don't give them false hope because they have enough people that lied to them over their 12 years or 13 years or whatever it might be. You know, they have enough people that lied to them already. They don't need another liar. You know, what they need is someone that's going to tell them it's X, Y, and Z. You know, there is a possibility it could be, you know, something different, but this is what it is for right now, you know. And it's touching. Like, this one is bothering me, you know, and I have another one that's bothering me. And, you know, I'm just, which brings me to, like, the second question I wanted to ask, you know, everyone, you know, Do you think that sometimes people have children and they accept the children, but then when they find out that there's a mental illness, they're quick to turn their backs, you know, on them? You know, mental illness, not just saying, you know, someone is bipolar and that's a mental illness. I mean being mentally retarded. I mean to the point where they can tell you SpongeBob and everything about SpongeBob, but if you give them a math book or a reading book, they can't comprehend nothing because their IQ is very low, you know, and in return, the parents don't come to visit them, you know, the mother don't come, the stepfather don't come, nobody comes, you know, to visit them. They say, if you be good, I'ma come and visit you. Now, you know well, when you say be good, what does that mean to them? What does that mean to this one that's mentally retarded? She doesn't know what be good means. Mm-hmm. Does that mean if I behave myself, you're going to buy me something? Because that's what she thinks. You know, so my question is, you know, when you're dealing with someone that does have, you know, a special need, you know, because I don't like to call her, you know, some of the other staff, you know, they'll call her, okay, well, she's mentally retarded, you know, or she's a Riri, you know. No, she's a person that has a special need. But how do you, what would be your approach to a parent, you know, to a parent that has a child that has a special need, that puts them in different facilities and tells them, if you be good, I'm coming? If you haven't seen the child in 3-4 years, I mean, do you understand the concept of maybe they can't comprehend the be good part? You know, do you, turn your back on them? You know, how do you approach, you know, someone's parent and tell them, you know, like, all right, well, I understand the be good part. I understand that you're trying to teach the child a lesson, but it's been 3 years since you've seen your child.
You know, Zena,
what do we do with that?
Some parents are just breeders, and I say that because not everyone is equipped to be a parent. Not everyone is equipped to care for a child. Not everyone is equipped and have the know-how and the facilitation to care for those children. And society has okayed that because just like they test for Down syndrome and things like that prior to before birth, is basically society is saying it's okay for you to abort a child before birth, even though that child is precious in God's eyes. Every child is precious in God's eyes, even before that child is born. And it's just the way society sees things. Now, when it comes to a parent who says to a child, if you are good, then I will come see you, is basically setting up that child for failure, because the child is rebelling against the parent because of those same words. The child is rebelling because this is instilled in that child. And like you were able to reach that young lady when maybe no one else in the world was able to, because you, whether you know it or not, was equipped with the proper tools to reach that young lady. Not only did you reach that young lady, but you reached her heart. You reached the core, which is what God wants in us. He wants you to reach the core, which is the heart. And the problem is, a lot of people go to church. A lot of people say that they're saved, but at the same time, basically it's just like going to school. They just go to school just and enough to pass and get a degree just to be able to graduate. God says, if you believe on me, then you are truly saved. But just going in and saying, yeah, I accept, and you don't believe, doesn't mean you're saved. But when you say, how can God allow this to happen? Are you in the true will of God? Are you truly saved by God? Because if you are, those questions would already have been answered. It's been said over and over again tonight, Lavina, that you are doing a work. Sometimes you don't even know what you're doing, but you have already saved not only that young lady, but the generations to come by her. Because who she's going to reach through you, you would have no idea that she has already saved 1,000 more children just because of the tears she shed, like Jesus shed for us on the cross. So you are doing, yes, you are doing a wonderful work. Don't condemn and convict yourself because of what you don't think you are doing. Rejoice in knowing that you are there doing a work that no one else could have. because God has put you in that place for that particular reason. You can reach not only the children, but you can reach the parents. The parents need you more than they need anything else, because you are equipped through this program, through your association with other pastors. You are equipped. So basically, you do have a doctor's, you do have a master's in God's work, and that's where it counts, because those other crowns are corruptible crowns. The crown that you have is an uncorruptible crown, and you are using it to God's glory. And glory be to God for having you, having this program, and having the will and this earring to carry his word beyond just not the telephone, beyond not just the room that you're in, but to the world. God bless you. God love you. And I love everyone in this show. Cheryl, I love you too. Pastor, this is an awesome show, and it's going to carry the world, and I thank you all.
Praise God. I would really like to say this right quick, briefly to you. Lavinia, you're in a position where you're using an evangelistic gift. In my ministry call, I have a brother who suffers from mental disability. Let me say that so I can say this from personal experience. I want to, first of all, I do agree with you, man of God, that just spoken about how, you know, you are to include God in everything that you do and stuff like that, and just having the presence of God equips you with it, whatever degree you need. I definitely agree with that. I think more of what Lavinia is saying is she's dealing in a place where a lot of spirits, and just coming in there with the scriptures, the Bible is in a world of, even though she comprehends it, they're not receiving it that way, because they don't want to, they've lost their hope, they've lost their ability to believe because of the situations they're going through. So I deal with a lot of that in my outreach ministry, and where God allows, even though I do minister through the pastor gift, that's when I'm behind my pulpit. But when I'm out in my outreach ministry, God uses me in the evangelistic gift, and what that is, that's the gift that goes to the unbeliever, meaning you don't go to them with the scriptures or anything like that. You go to them with the presence of God flowing through you, meaning you let them, you remind them of the good that's inside them. Like you told that young lady, yeah, you may have been through many things, but you can still do good. You can still live positive. You keep reminding them that even though their situation it may be dire, even though their circumstance may look this way, that does not define who they are. Their past does not define their future. It's what they choose to do about what happened in their past. In their present was what defined their future, and the only way you can do that is to keep leading by example, keeping that positive light. But you're going to just pretty much be evangelizing, Sister Lavinia. That's your gift, even though you may not have ever thought about it. But you truly are doing the work of an evangelist, and you have a ministry. Even though DQ Palace is on Sunday and all that, but God is using you every single day on your job as an evangelist. You know, you may not be behind a pulpit preaching, but you are ministering through an evangelistic gift. You are, you know, just and just by doing what you're doing. You're not beating them over the head with scriptures. You're not coming in like that. God is using you to be real. It's time out for playing herself. He's using you for real, and you're speaking off of experiences, and that's how you're going to keep reaching them. Those people, those parents who have left those children, are talking about if you be good, I'll come. That's an evil demonic spirit inside of those parents. That has nothing to do with that child. That's them being ashamed, not trusting in the power of God, because if they truly prayed and trust God and believe like they should believe, then what they do is they pray for that child. They love that child no matter what, and they ask God to heal that child of whatever they're going through. So just remind them, so what you say to those children who are in those situations, you just keep reminding them, like you said, they're still good. Yeah, they may be going through things, but they're still good people. And just keep encouraging them to do their best. Keep having them to tap into their inner strength, so they'll take their mind off of the world and what's going on the outside, and know that as long as they tap into their heart and who they are on the inside, they'll make it through whatever's going on the outside, because God lies within. And the only way we can worship him is in spirit and in truth. So you keep the Lord's truth with you. You keep telling them the truth and keep doing it in love, and everything will work out. It may not happen overnight, but it will work out because God promised. And that's my That's my opinion in it. That's what's been helping me in my ministry, just being honest and truthful.
And just to add one more thing, and then I'm done. You know, on average, it takes about 14 different encounters with that one individual for them to actually come to grips with what truth and reality is. So you may actually be the second, third, fourth. You may not be that 14th person. So in their lifetime, they will come across, say, another 10 people for them to actually get the true nature of what you initially seeded in them. So, again, that's why you shouldn't down yourself or feel any kind of way, because like everyone is saying, everyone is in agreement here. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And, again, it may not be the first, second, or third. It may take that 14th person. But it all depends on where you are in line. But we are all disciples. We are doing God's work, and the only thing we can do it to the best of our ability and be real. Like Sister said, we have to be real, and you're being real, and that's the key quality. Because, like you said, that young lady, they have that discernment to be able to see through the fake and those that are just there for a check. You are there to check, not to receive a check.
Come on now.
Big difference.
Yeah. Why not do think? Kind of choked up there. Excuse me.
Yeah, be encouraged, Lucinda. Be encouraged. It's hard when you truly care, you know? It's so hard when you truly care for a person. They don't have to be your kids. They don't have to even be physically kin to you. But when you love God, you will have what this woman of God has. I want every caller to just bear witness. You know, when you truly love God, you will care about your brothers and sisters in the world. That's the second greatest commandment, to love thy neighbor. And she's truly keeping that commandment of loving her neighbor. Your neighbor meaning everyone in the world that's not you. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart, but the second is to love everyone else in the world. And she's keeping that commandment. That's a hard commandment to keep. But God put these two first, because if you can't keep these two, we can't keep the rest of them. Because it takes love to love a person who hurt you deliberately, to help a person, to pray for a person who you know don't like you. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. But if you love God, you can do what she's doing. And I'm sure she's around a lot of people that was rejecting spirits, evil spirits. But to keep that love and keep saying, you tell this person no, not to talk to the doctor, but I'm going to tell her yes, because that's what God told me, and I'm going to keep doing it. I don't care if you don't like it. I'm going to do what God said. And that's why that young lady is going to continue to be blessed by you, and so many other people are going to continue to be blessed because of you keeping that second greatest commandment God laid down, to love thy neighbor.
Thank you. I'm going to bring on one more caller. But I do thank everyone. I truly needed it. And when I spoke about being encouraged, I truly needed that tonight. I do thank everybody for the words of encouragement this evening. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, yes. I hear you.
How y'all doing? This is Richard. How's everybody doing? Hey. Well, you know, first I want to thank the Lord for waking me up this morning, you know, and just say to Lavina, she is a very beautiful person. She tries to help everybody and do what she can do to help them out. But sometimes, you know, it's sad to say, some people ask for the help, but they don't know how to accept it when it's given to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to help everybody, but you can't help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a sad cause, because sometimes the people that you help, they're so used to what they was doing before a person helping them out, they go back to what they was doing, which was a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Me, personally, I feel like if a person is going to help you and put their all to it and, you know, try to help you the best way they can, you know, and give you that uplifting, those encouraging words, you know, you gotta look at things in the light of, okay, this person is taking his time out to help me out. I gotta really sit down, you know, get myself together, you know, because there might not be nobody else to help you like this person is, you know. And she's a wonderful person. She do what she could do for everybody. And, you know, I try to sell it sometimes. When I speak to her, you know, you can't help everybody. You know, even though you work at a psych hospital, you know, some of those girls want to be helped. You know, you understand? Some of them could be using you, but you still take your time out to help them. You understand? You know, some things is not to me, ain't worth getting hurt over. You know, not trying to sound like it's a negative vibe or anything like that, but it's reality. You understand? It's a reality fact, you know? But
right.
I was listening and I'm hearing everybody and all y'all just said some encouraging words. And it's a beautiful thing to have y'all on the air and let people know exactly, you know, what's going on and how you could have some people with such encouraging words, you know, Elder Keith, Pastor Teresa, Dave, you know, and then a lot of people is listening to actually what y'all are saying. So who's to say what y'all are speaking, y'all saved a life tonight. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because actually on this show, people has called in and, you know, they thank everybody and everything because they listen and they like, wow, you know, they probably have something negative in their mind, but by hearing what y'all was saying, it turns it into a positive situation. You know, but my thing is, you know, I was hit by a hit and run Friday. Thank God I'm still alive. You understand? Friday I was hit by a hit and run car. You know what I'm saying? And it's going through the hassle, you know, because 911 got to get the license plate number. They never wrote the plate down. But I thank God I'm still alive. Could just say I wouldn't even made it to actually speak today. You know what I'm saying? So to me, God is good. He's going to always be good in my life. And you don't preach just on Sunday. You preach every day.
Come on now.
Amen.
So that's how you're supposed to do it. You know, you're not supposed to preach just on Sunday. You're supposed to preach every day. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to take up too much time. I'm not going to sit here and get long-winded and everything, you know, but it's a very powerful show tonight and very encouraging word from all of y'all, every single one of y'all. And I'm listening in, and I'm taking everything into mind and heed, and as I'm listening, I'm praying.
Amen.
So I just ask y'all to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for y'all.
Always, bro.
Yeah.
Always.
Now, of course, some of you guys know who that is, and some of you don't.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
That's
the sugar on her teeth. Yeah. And he's seen a lot, you know, with my job and, you know, and me getting hurt a couple times. And, you know, I speak to him about the fights and stuff that goes on. And, you know, I know that he worries about me, you know, especially going in and then, you know, the hours and everything. But at the same time, you know, he knows that, you know, I'm always praying. You know, I'm always praying. And, you know, before a situation, you know, is about to happen, I'm praying. While it's happening, I'm still praying, you know, because I'm praying for my safety. You know, at the same time, you know, I explain to everybody that some of them are behavioral, you know, as well as suicidal. So it's a lot to deal with, you know, and I do thank you, you know, for being, you know, a part of my life and, you know, continuously, you know, encouraging me with, you know, my encouragement, you know, my place of employment, you know. But I'm happy that you did call in, you know, because I definitely was waiting to see if you were going to mention what happened on Friday, okay? And I'm just going to say to that God is good, because it could have been so much worse, you know. It could have been so much worse, and I just stopped myself from thinking of what it could have been and exactly what it was. And thanking God that everything is well, you know, and that anything that, you know, was damaged, you know, that he is able to heal. And I'm thankful, you know, for that. And I do thank you for definitely acknowledging the fact that, you know, God is good, you know, and he's the person that made sure that you were able to walk, you know, after the situation took place. And, you know, you're able to talk and move your limbs and everything. And I'm thankful. And I just want, you know, at the end of the show, we definitely want to, you know, pray for you, you know, for everything that you're going through, you know, as well. And the reason I said everything that he is going through is because there isn't an I, it's a we, you know, and even though there's a we, you know, mentally, you know, he has his own relationship with God, and I have my relationship with God. And when he sits and he prays, I'm not there when he sits and he prays. But as a man, you know, he's going through his own thing, you know. And as a woman, I'm going to continue to encourage him, you know. But at the same time, I believe that the relationship that he has established with God is what's going to make him a stronger man. You know, I'm going to be right there, you know, to uplift him and encourage him and, you know, motivate him. But I think that his relationship with God is, you know, most important, because if there's no relationship with God, then there's no relationship with us, you know, because he is the reason that we are together. You know, I hope and pray, you know, for him to send me somebody, and he sent me him, you know, and I'm thankful, and I'm positive that, you know, he is, you know, going to continue to be encouraged and uplifted. And God's in control, you know.
God's
definitely in control.
And you need to be happy,
spiritual leaders.
Rich too. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders for words of encouragement for him this evening.
Yeah, I keep Rich in my prayers all the time. I'm sure he has a head of protection around him. And, you know, yeah, he definitely has a head of protection around him and yourself. And, you know, him calling in tonight just shows the love both God and yourself. And here's what's going on, Rich. I know your concerns as far as for Lavina. But the thing is, 7 days without Christ makes 1 week. Not W-E-E-K, but W-E-A-K. And by her coming on tonight and confessing one to another, her glass is being filled. So she's now being renewed, not only in her spirit, but her strength. So know that she is getting the new glass tonight, and so she can go ahead and keep fighting. Now you can go to the spiritual leaders while I step back. I'm sorry.
All right, God.
And I do thank you, you know, Dave, because I do, you know, I did see a couple things that you put, you know, on a post that he had put up, a picture, you know, and don't even think about it. I remember those words, you know, and I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful because if you could only know what was going through his mind, you know. I know him, so I know what was going through his mind, but by you being able to look at the picture and you write that one post of don't even think about it, right there, I was just like, wow. You know, please continue to pray for him and, you know, uplift him and encourage him and just keep me strong. And, you know, because keeping both of us strong, we're able to, you know, continue to build and, you know, motivate and uplift each other.
Amen.
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead, Pastor. You want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to briefly say I could just speak from experience. When I was pretty much helping co-host with the show, Rich is truly a great guy because he's a leader, you know, in his own right, but he doesn't think it robbery to let Lavinia shine and be that true woman of God. You know, we may not always be perfect or do everything that we should do, but I always wanted to say that I admire their structure, their relationship, like how he, you know, she facilitates and does such a wonderful job at DQ Palace. Now, even though with him being the owner, he doesn't come in and try to, you don't hear him overthrowing her or over-talking her. He's a great, that's what a man is supposed to do, a man of God. So I truly, I love y'all's relationship. You're setting a wonderful example of how it's supposed to be. Lavinia's very strong, and it doesn't mean she's weak when she lets her man lead. It's not that she can't, but he does what he's supposed to do as a man of God, you know, not treating her like she's less. He's doing what God says and just embracing her, how he comes on. And he didn't come on here to say, I'm rich and I'm this and this is my show and I'm checking. He came in like he was supposed to. You know what I mean? I just wanted to point that out. I thank God for y'all's relationship, and that's the reason why the Lord is blessing you all the way he is. There's a new calmness in your voice, Mr. Rich. It's a new calmness that you have. I do hear the difference. It's the presence of God that's truly taking over. And I just want you to know I've kept you all in prayer, and I know God is so good. Because Lavinia,
yes,
you're truly speaking out more. You're using that gift. You're using that gift. So be encouraged and know that just finally on just where you work at and just for everyone else, God said he wants all of us to be saved. It's God's will that we all be saved, but not all of us are going to choose God. That he said that in his word. So all we can do, again, is our best each day to live right and make sure we do what we have to do to let God be able to shine through us. But at the end of the day, we have to be okay with our best. Whether they choose God the way we did or not, we have to be okay with that. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, the couple, Lavina and Rich, y'all are equally yoked. Equally yoked. And as long as God has that anointing over both of you as that couple, you're going to do great and powerful things. The unfortunate thing that happened to you, Brother Rich, it's something that the enemy had a plan. And once again, God stepped in and made and blocked that plan.
Yes, he did.
I just want to say from the crown of your head until the sole to your feet, I pray for to be refurbished, restored completely in Jesus' name. And it is already done.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to share, if you don't mind, one more thing. I just want to share a brief testimony that happened to me, Brother Rich.
Okay.
Last year in November, right after Hurricane Sandy, I live in Far Rockaway. And I live right by between the bay and the beach. And right after Hurricane Sandy had happened, I had the unfortunate situation happen where clots had formed in my leg, my right leg. And those two of those clots went into my lungs. So as I'm sitting here talking to you on the phone, I'm so thankful to God for the, you know, it's crazy how I'm even thankful for the unfortunate situation happening because he showed me again why he is who he is.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm laying in the hospital bed, you know, the doctor's saying, well, you're going to have to take Coumadin, you know, these blood thinners, you're going to have to take this medication, that medication. And he was telling my wife, he said, you know, your husband came in here and he was blue. He said, and we didn't expect him to make it. So to see him sitting up in the bed laughing and talking with you and these other people is kind of unbelievable. And I tapped the doctor on a hand. I said, Doc, his name is Jesus. I'm still standing because Jesus saved me. So whatever it was that the enemy had a plan or intentions to do, God made sure it didn't happen because God has a plan for me. So the enemy was just stupid, and he just wasted his time. And once again, with you, my brother, he wasted his time again because you are going to prosper. No weapons form is going to prosper beyond what God has for you. None. None. You are still standing. Keep standing on the word of God with your woman of God. And you just watch the great thing that's going to happen. You just watch.
Amen.
Amen.
I neglected to mention the book of Joshua chapter 15. Just wanted to give that closing scripture, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, where Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We all have to choose this day whom we will serve." So it all comes down to our basic choice. And, you know, Rich and Lavinia, y'all choose to serve the Lord. That's why whatever stumbling blocks come your way, it's just something to show you, like you said, that God is still good and he'll do what he says he'll do. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we definitely... I'm going to say we definitely thank you. We definitely thank you all for the encouraging words. We do have another show that's going to be coming on at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. It's called Crossroad Temple with Brother Hunter. And that's it's called Crossroad Temple, and it's where he interviews hip-hop gospel artists. And it comes on from 9 to 10. And... Rich, you can help me with this one. He is formerly the lead singer to...
Of Atlantic Star.
Atlantic Star.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's the lead singer of Atlantic Star. He interviews, like Avina said, hip-hop gospel artists and regular gospel artists as well.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So he's coming on tonight from 9 to 10. Every Sunday he's on the air from 9 to 10. What we're going to do is around about this time, we can just come together. If anyone has any announcements that they want to make, we'll do the announcements, and then we'll end in prayer. So this way he can start his show at 9 o'clock. Usually I go over, so I'm trying to not to go over. Usually we go over on Spiritual Sunday, but we're working on that. I'm working on that, Brother Hunter. I really am. so this way he'll be able to start his show, because he does have guests coming on.
Right.
Last week he had one of the gentlemen from Tony, and it was a great show. It was definitely a great show. And so at this time, if anyone has any announcements, if they have anything that they're working on that they would like anyone to come and support or communicate, if you guys can just give that information out.
Well, right now I'm working on putting together my next fundraiser for my church. The picture
okay.
that you actually like, Lavina, is one from the guy from the one I just did in September, with the cross in the background.
Okay.
I'm standing on the stage. I do
a
fundraiser. I'm gonna do a fundraiser at least twice a year. This past September, like I said, was the first time I did it, and I'm just looking for other artists that can perform for the event. I don't let nobody do nothing for free. So of course, there was a blessing attached to it.
Okay.
I don't let nobody do anything for free. Because it is what it is. You're using your talent to benefit something that I'm trying to do, and I appreciate that, and that's how I show my appreciation. In addition, I just want to say this last thing, and then I'm done, as the brother before said. But in whatever way I can help you, Lavina and Rich, as far as what y'all doing with these people at Lavina's job, if you want me to come speak, you let me know. There's no financial attachment to that at all. It's my pleasure. It's my job, and it's a part of me doing my me carrying my cross for Christ. So reach out. I'm always available. Always available.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. And for the artists, the next event, the next fundraiser that you're going to try and do, do you know around about when you're going to have that, or that's going to be next year sometime?
It's going to be next year, sometime in June. June. Yes.
Okay. So then what we'll do is we'll, of course, keep in contact with each other because we have artists.
Okay.
That's what I want to hear. The next show, Crossroads Temple, from 9 to 10. You know, he interviews gospel artists. And even though we say hip-hop gospel artists, not all of them are hip-hop gospel artists. It's their gospel artists as well. So it gives you a little bit of both,
okay.
You know, and it's definitely a great show, and all of us are in New York, so
that's
that makes it even
right,
better.
You're right here. We right here.
Not
right.
All of us. Okay. I have my announcement is basically, you know, the way to a person's heart is through their stomach. So this Thanksgiving, I'm actually in Spring Hill, Florida. Springs of Life Family Church is located at 4157 Mariner Boulevard, Spring Hill, Florida, 34609. If you do not have a family to go to on Thanksgiving, or you don't have a place to go to, you are more than welcome. 1 o'clock, come in. You don't need to bring anything. Just bring yourself. And you are more than welcome to partake of all of the all of the foods. You're gonna have turkey, rice, curry, oxtail, you name it. You're gonna have all the trimmings. You're gonna make sure that everyone is fed. Again, Springs of Life Family Church, 4157 Mariner Boulevard, Spring Hill, Florida, 34609. And it's Pastor John and Cheryl Grassi. Okay? Come hungry.
Amen. I have a question for you, though. With you being in Florida, we do have a lot of listeners, and if anyone is looking to make a donation, are you guys accepting donations as well?
Yes, we do.
No,
yes.
A lot of us are not in Florida. Do you have that information that you can...
Yes, they can actually go to the website, which is springsoflifefamily.com, and if not, they can call. The telephone number is 352-238-8690, 352-238-8690, and again, on also, on Fridays, we do give out food to the to anyone that needs food. Usually starts about 10 in the morning. So we're definitely serving the community, and we are interested in doing God's work and no other work besides that. And I applaud the minister, because he's willing to give up his time without being financially compensated. But he is being compensated both financially, physically, and emotionally and spiritually because he's mm-hmm. doing that. And again, to all praises to God, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I definitely, Pastor Younger, do you have any announcements that you'd like to make?
Yes. Restoration Ministries has free mobile messaging available. We send words of encouragement directly to your cell phones, and you can share them with your contacts. And it's great for, like, the situation you work in. And you may find one that's encouraging to the young people and read it out loud to them. And the subscription, again, is free. You can access them without having to connect to the Internet. It's great for those who have prepaid data plans or without Internet connection at home. And to subscribe, you just simply send your name and a text message to 1-803-235-9825. 1-803-235-9825. You send that message from the mobile phone you would like to receive the messages on, and that's it. We only send you out a text message once a day at a decent time, and your number is kept in a private database, never released to anyone else. And if you don't want these blessed words of encouragement, someone you may know may, so just remember to mention to them. It's very much free. Also, that same number we give confidential ministerial guidance. So if you know someone who needs to be talked to, prayed for, that number, you give them that number and they call, leave a voicemail, and they will receive a call back from myself. And that's what we have.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And what's that number again?
Okay. That number is area code. You're making me laugh. 1-803-235-9825. 1-803-235-9825. Oh, also, we have a Spread the Word program if someone cannot afford to buy a Bible. Again, this is for those who really cannot afford it. We will send you out a free Bible. You just, when you call the number and listen to the voicemail. A lot of information is on the voicemail, and then we're pressed for time, and I want to be obedient. Amen.
Amen.
We have a lot going on. And everything we do here is for free.
Right. Amen. Awesome. I just want to make one announcement myself. Tasha Harris has a new organization called Unique Blessings, and they'll be having an event on Saturday, November 23rd, from 1 to 3, and then from 4 to 6, where it's Thanksgiving Day. And they're celebrating Thanksgiving in advance, and they're actually feeding different groups of people. I'm not sure how her setup is, but it's from different hours. So it's from 1 to 3 and then from 4 to 6 at the Coco LaVue, I believe it is. It's in Manhattan. If anyone needs any other information, you can just either give me a call or inbox me or send me a message, and I'll give you all of the other information. But it is called, her name of her company is called Unique Blessings, and the event is going to be in at the Coco LaVue in New York, which is in Manhattan. So with that being said, that was my last announcement. And, of course, Crossroad Temple starting at 9 p.m. And please make sure everyone tunes in to some of the other shows that GQ Palette has as well. We have shows every day except Saturday, and it is the same number. So there's something for everyone, even with the sports, comedy, and adults. And then, of course, Rich Money on Friday with Love and Entertainment. And we do have the Belvins. Which is two authors on Thursday night, which is Reality and Relationships, and that's from 8 to 10. So just call the number 6 days a week, and we do have different shows on the air. So everyone can just listen to them and see if it's something that you are interested in. Of course, you can give you can go on the air and give your feedback and your words of encouragement at the same time. And it's a wonderful time here at GQ Palace, and we just welcome everyone, and we thank everyone. We're going to go to our special guest to end in prayer this evening so that Crossroad Temple with Brother Hunter can start immediately after Spiritual Sunday. Have a blessed and safe week, everybody.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this union this evening. We thank you for this coming together before your grace and in your presence. We thank you for all the people on this line right now, the disciples of you that are chasing after you and continuing to provide and promote your work. We ask you right now to keep everyone on this phone line and abroad covered in your word and show them the purpose and will that you have for them in their life. As we depart from this station, but never from your presence, we ask you, we say thank God, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a blessed and safe week, everyone. We look forward to speaking to everyone next week, Sunday, starting at the same time at 7 p.m. God bless you all.
God bless.
Charlie Mercy.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank him. Just thank him.
God bless. God bless. We back again. Welcome to the Crossroad Temple Show. This is Brother Timothy right here, a.k.a. Scribby from Hartley. We got a beautiful show tonight. We doing something with this hip-hop gospel. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't really into it that much. But when I started doing my research, I realized that this thing is bigger than a lot of other genres of music right now. And I'm all in. And tonight, we're going to have a live concert with this awesome group I met called Beautiful Eulogy. And their album is called Instruments of Mercy. It's a beautiful album. It's a beautiful hip-hop album. It defines hip-hop gospel. To start this show off tonight, we got my man Powder in the studio. What's good, Powder?
What's up, world?
Yeah, you know. This my man Powder right here, God-fearing young brother, you know. We in the streets, but we got our feet in God's water, too, you know. And just say something to the people, man. Let them know, you know.
Yes, yes. God bless, world. God bless. I'm just happy to be heard right now.
You know,
happy to be on air.
Yeah, this is my little man right here. He's going to be coming at you soon with some hip-hop gospel, too, so you'll look out for him. His name is Powder Grahams, man. All right? That's my boy. Before we start this show, we're going to get into a song called This Joy by my first guest we had on my first show last 2 weeks ago named John P., a.k.a. John Parker. This song was called This Joy. We're going to get into that, and right after that, we're going to fall right into the live concert with Beautiful Eulogy. God bless.
I'm about to spit a holy verse. I'm coming from James 1 and 2. And it's talking about me and you. It says, my brother, and count it all joy when temptation's coming for you. See, what that means is lay back, sit back, relax, and let the devil play his hand. Patience is a virtue, you are just a man. It's all in God's hands. You see, you're too blessed to be stressed, no matter what the test. Cause God never fails you yet. Won't worry, won't fret. But y'all don't hear me though. Just the believers make some noise. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright.
Men outside the school to see which next kid he gonna turn to his next fool. It ain't cool. Parents mad cause they child brains are stolen or probably rolling in the bins that's stolen. Rhyme with dark sense and jail with the next place to be sent. But y'all, you said you waiting on your next hit. Well, I'm waiting on my next bar to spit. And in the hood, it's a good fit. You want to know why?
Why?
Because ASAP is behind it. This joy.
This joy. Well, they give it to me.
This joy, that was by my main man, JP, a.k.a. John Parker. Don't forget to check iTunes for his album. It's called I Rock With One Name, Jesus. I want to give a big shout-out to my family, my loved ones, you know, Rich and Sandra Dickerson. I know you're listening in right now. You know, much love to you. We got Diane on the line. Let's holler at Diane. God bless, sis.
Hey, what's up, man? Doing big things, I see. Yeah,
we trying to do it God's way.
Huh?
I said, we're trying to do it God's way, you know. Thank you.
Definitely. Absolutely.
You know, that's what it's about. God opened up a little door for me to open up doors for others. So, you know, so anybody that do gospel music or gospel rap, anybody you know, just send them at me and let's let the world hear what they do for God's name, you know.
Well, that's what's up.
Mm-hmm. So how you doing today? You all right?
I'm doing good, you know, hanging in there.
Yeah, did you give thanks for waking up this morning?
I give thanks every day that I'm above ground, baby. Trust me.
That's what I'm talking about, babe. That's what I'm talking about. Yo, listen, I got this group coming up. It's called Beautiful Eulogy. I hope you stick around for a little bit, listen to a couple of their songs, you know. They're a real good group. It's a hip-hop R&B tonight.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, and I thank you for calling, babe. God
bless. No problem. Want to give you, and I gotta give my peace to love, man. We all from the same town. We gotta support.
That's right. New Rochelle, now Rumal, Hartley, stand up.
Straight up, standing up, big time.
Hey, yo, listen, callers, you can call in and give a shout out, give your perspective, judgment on this music coming up. You can call me at 646-200-3838. Make sure you press the number 1 if you want to get on the air and talk to me. Right now, we're going to start this live concert by Beautiful Eulogy. The album is called Instruments of Mercy. This first single is called Vital Lens. I hope that you enjoy it because it has blown me away for the last 3 days. Let's get into this one right now. Vital Lens.
Yup, this is a reintroduction plus some practical perspective. For those of us indeed who are in need of complete vision correction, the only thing that's required is a lens that's genuinely objective, and a minute of your time to wrap your mind around divine perception. Cause even the most mindless and spiritually blind can be the spectator in a theater of God's magnificent design. If you would incline your ears and your eyes to these sounds and these signs, we would attempt to rightly refine and align your crooked sight, but we not inclined that a sunset or an ocean can begin to set in mind when the Son of Man began to set in redemptive motion. For morals, meaning, and devotion, heart, mind, and emotion, substance, significance, and truth cannot be explained or reduced to a Big Bang explosion. Because his character and nature cannot be known through natural revelation, or shown through random acts or figments of your imagination. We, the Beautiful Eulogy, attempt to communicate audibly and visually to help you hear and see the glory of God clearly. Your love.
love everlasting. I start where I finish, pick it back up where I left it. I'm just a man of unclean lips, I've only seen a glimpse, but everywhere I look I see his fingerprints. All things were made through him, we received his revelation, so we reflect it when we breathe. And the concepts we conceive are born of spiritual seed, manifest in a material realm as musical composition. The rhythm of heartbeats transformed by the gospel and godly wisdom. I'm an instrument of his mercy, unworthy but still he uses me. The beauty of the eulogy, through his death we are truly free. Free indeed, the condemnation and the bondage of our sin was abolished on the cross, and he alone accomplished it. God made himself known, exposing his own nature and his glory through his son, the revelation of our savior, the fullness of God born in human form, deity in the flesh. We need a spirit and the word to open our eyes so we can see correct the vital lens.
I don't know about y'all, but that was hot. You know what I mean? On the streets, we call that crack music. That was hip-hop gospel at its best. Did you hear them, brothers? Did you hear what they were saying? Now I got a bigger surprise for you. And there ain't no color barriers in God. But those was three white boys. Three talented country white boys from Portland, Oregon. Bugged me out when I heard them. I heard the music before I saw the face. And I thought they was black. I thought they was from Brooklyn somewhere. They from Portland, Oregon. The artist's names in that group is The One Braille. The other artist's name is Odd Thomas. And the next artist's name was called Cortland Urbano. It's three brothers. The group introduces a distinct and directive sound that's driven by the desire to worship God. As I spoke with them and interviewed them, I found out that their influences were from hip-hop, electronic music, folk songs, and old gospel hymns. These boys is crazy. You know, they crazy. They using the old analog sound and acoustic instruments with a whole bunch of poetic lyricism. I love it. We're not even going to delay anymore. We're going to get into their next song. This song is called According to God, featuring Joseph. I want to shout out Hartley Housing. And once again, my sister in Christ and in this life, Sandra Dickerson, and her husband, Rich Dickerson, two great people. And I will keep saying it all night, two great people in my life. And I hope that you have two great people in your life. And if you do, give thanks for them right now. Just throw your hands in the air and say thank you. So right now, we're going to get into According to God, featuring Joseph by Beautiful Eulogy.
I'm a believer, sometimes I believe the lies of the deceiver. The lies and seeds, when they sprout, they lead to seasons of spiritual amnesia. Deep-seated self-doubt, it creeps in my conscience, feeds my fear, and keeps me up at night conquered by critical thoughts. My mind is prone to conjure when it wanders, watching my failures play back on repeat. I try to change the chain of events, but can't rewind to find the delete. But in the push, I'm on the edge. It's like the world is about to end. I'm in the middle of Armageddon, with no arms, no weapons, no armor for protection. It's the testing of my faith, and I know the answer, but instead I'm just guessing. Like I forgot that God was my father, and I was set apart for his own possession. His word is my armor and my protection against the enemy's deception. But still I question, how could I receive such an incredible blessing when I feel like I'm less than? Because I went through a divorce, and I'm a second-rate Christian. I know that's a lie, so I won't listen. Through Christ I'm forgiven. I'm being formed into his image. According to God, I was called from the darkness into his marvelous light. He is near to the brokenhearted and faithful to finish what he started.
Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? struggle to identify most of my misplaced anger and rage. Dealing with a whole of emotional consequences based on the way I was raised. Appealing for affection and affirmation. Adjusted performance to get attention and gain some sort of acceptance, but found I was always rejected and pushed away. Deep scars, feelings of not belonging caused tall emotional walls, and any attempt to recover from the loss of my confidence was incredibly small. The residual effects of abandonment had me observing my character flaws and viewing them all as insufficiently capable of relating or growing with God. I believe these lies to be true for me. My experience was the proof for me, up to the point where I could sense Christ's relentless love and complete pursuit of me, and spoke to me, offering me hope and life through his word, showing me his beauty, changing my perception and giving me perspective of the way that God truly viewed me. A man who was prized and pardoned and chosen before the world's foundation, his own possession, his royal priesthood. I'm part of his holy nation. I'm his friend, I'm valued, he's completely cared for, enough for Christ to purchase. According to God, I'm an adopted child with intimate access, created with purpose.
Because I'm saying the same thing. You know, like I said, no matter what color you are, if you're praising God, those are three white guys, and they doing their thing. We got the mayor on the line. The mayor is my man from childhood. What's happening, homie?
Peace. What's going on? Peace. I had to check in, man. You know what I mean? You're doing your thing, man. Just wanted to shout you out. Whatever, you know what I mean? What's going on?
I'm trying to do it, man. You heard those brothers, man? Beautiful.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I saw the video you was telling me about it. I saw it. Enjoyed it very much. And I enjoyed the song that they was playing just now, man. So, yeah, they do what they think. Real talk.
You know what I mean? I can't stop saying it because I'm still shocked that three white guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's bananas, man. But, you know, you a hip-hop fanatic. So, yeah. I know if you like it, you know what I mean? Come on, man.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's like you close your eyes, like you said, you were saying earlier. You thought it was, you know, before you find out who they were personally, you was like, you thought they was some cats from BK or whatever.
Yeah.
So this just goes to show that, you know, without you seeing who they were, the spirit and the vibe of who they are came through the music. You was like, yo, I'm feeling these dudes. You know what I mean? And then when you seen them, it was like, oh, wow. It really blows me because now I'm like, okay, they got it just like I got it. So now let's put it together and see what it do, man. So everything is on a common vibe, man. You know, regardless of all that, what they look like, they sound good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because once again, there's no color barrier in God, man.
Right. True that.
It don't exist, man.
No doubt.
No. Yeah, man. As you see, the lines is blowing up. You know what I mean? I got my man Cuckoo Brickle. You know, we got Diane called in. You know, I got my girl Sandra Dickinson getting ready to call in.
That's what it is, man. I just wanted to holler at you, shout you out, man. Let you know, keep rocking, man. Do your thing.
Yo, I love you, King. Thank you.
That's
you
what
heard?
It is, man. I love you too, my dude. Keep rocking, man. We got you, man. All right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What it is.
Yeah.
I'm here, baby.
Yeah, I need y'all to look out, too, for my new gospel album. It's coming out. You know what I mean? It's called DOC, Department of Christ. You know what I mean? Because some of us came from the DOC, Department of Corrections. So I just switched it up, went from corrections to Christ. The album's coming out real soon, and y'all just look forward to it, you know? But before we get into this next song by Beautiful Eulogy, I just got a text, and someone asked me to give them a little acapella. So here we go. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour. Oh, bless me, me now. My Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me, me now, my Savior. Savior, I come to thee. Praise God. I hope you like that one. Yeah, that felt good. You're about to make me, like, bring out my little thing and do a little Scribby concert up in here. But call in as you feel free, 646-200-3838. Press 1 if you want to get on the air and talk to me. You know what it is. Brother Timothy right here, a.k.a. Scribby from Hartley, now Rule, New Rochelle. We're going to get into the new song, next song, rather, by Beautiful Eulogy. This one's called The Size of Grace. Open your heart, open up your heart, open up your ears, open up your mind, and receive the word that these brothers are saying. Because I don't care if it's from Mars, Egypt, East Jiblit, or in the gutter. If they talking about God, we must listen, you know, because he comes in all forms. Remember that. Sides of grace, y'all.
And for this I'm not fit for the task to craft words with adequate passion to match the size of grace beyond anything I could grasp, but it grabs hold of me, so I hold on tight and hug it back. Surrounded by grace that surpasses the past, beyond anything we can hope for or ask. How can words describe the word made flesh? The best way to understand him is to understand his death. What he set to accomplish and fulfill with every step. He was sent from the Father, God's gift to the world. Gave his only son to purchase sons and daughters, to make us one with the Son and one with the Father. Took upon himself the condemnation we deserved. Resurrected after death, and he promised to return. Filled us with the Spirit to seal our election and protect us until the day that we share in his resurrection. The size of grace, how great the size. The gates of heaven are open wide, and people of all kind are welcome inside. Should have been denied, but instead God replied. He said, in your place my son has died. His death gave you life, it's the size of grace. Innocent blood that was shed to erase every trace of sin for a chosen race. It's the great exchange, it's power to change. The gospel, salvation for all who believe, all for his glory. Overcoming our hatred and sin with his divine love.
The love of our God, gracious and kind. God became a man and suffered for mankind. The punishment for our sin was poured out on him, so we could be forgiven and forever live. Saved by grace, the cost is not cheap. We can't add to it, his work is complete. The greatest gift we could ever receive is the gospel, salvation for all who believe.
So we pray for strength with the power of his Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That we would have the strength to comprehend, together with all the saints, the height, depth, and length. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, filled with the fullness of God, the size of grace.
Man, the size of grace, there's nothing left to say but the size of grace. How big is your size of grace? I know mine is trying to get bigger. I'm not going to sit here and play with you, you know. Times is rough, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations, but the key is to just stay focused, you know, and try to keep God first, no matter how bad it is, you know. I'm surrounded by a lot of friends with drug problems, family problems, girl problems, you know, and I had them all too. So, you know, like, all I can advise you to do is just get on your knees, turn off the TV, get quiet, and just ask the Father to help you, to work with you. Ask him what is it that he needs you to do, you know, and especially if you got daughters and sons, you know what I mean? Us, this generation, this 85 baby generation, all of us that's here, you know, we got to do this thing right, man. We got to show our kids that, yeah, we used to be hip-hop kids and all of that, but it's a grown person thing now, and we got to show them that God is first. We got to try to instill God in them a little bit better than it was instilled in us. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us got it late. But, you know, it's never too late when it comes to God. That's all I know, you know. So, yeah, tell me what you're thinking, man. These guys are crazy. Fall in. Let me know what's happening, you know. They also, Beautiful Eulogy, also had a sophomore album that came out in 2012. It was called The Satellite Kite. And you can also get that on iTunes as well. That's Satellite Kite. And once again, the group is called Beautiful Eulogy. You know what I mean? And some people say, well, why are they saying a beautiful death? I'm saying because it's all about Christ. You know what I mean? Christ died a beautiful death for us. You know what I mean? To have a beautiful life. You know what I mean? His eulogy was sweet. God is sweet. You know what I mean? And that's what we must carry on as kings and queens in this land today. To be sweet worshipers, steady, faithful worshipers of God. You know, and only God. God comes in many different names, Elohim, El Shaddai, Allah, whoever you want to call him, but it's still God. You know, whoever disagrees, it's all right to disagree. You understand? But we know at the end of the day, it's about one love and righteousness. That's all I know, man. We got another song coming in by the boy, Beautiful Eulogy, called A Quiet in Heaven, featuring Josh White. I like this song as well. I kind of like the whole album. It's like one or two that didn't shake me, but the rhythms, the beats, everything is just crazy. That's what pulled me in. And then when I started listening to the lyrics, I didn't even have to open my Bible no more, you know. And that's why hip-hop gospel is good for the youth, because a lot of the youth are not opening their Bibles. So when they hear this stuff, it's like having a verbal Bible right in your ear. You know what I mean? I'm hoping that these guys even hook up with brothers like KRS-One, real spiritual, enlightened, intelligent brothers. So without further ado, we're going to slide into the next song called A Quiet in Heaven, featuring Josh White. Blessing. Scribby right here. All right.
More excellent than angels, a purified bride, refined heart, speech, and mind, where unity and fellowship is perfected in the church, where divine love rests in the hearts of the inhabitants of the new earth, and receive a crown only to cast it down at the feet of the resurrected Jesus in a perfect, ceaseless form of worship, singing, glory. To the liberating King who came not to conquer kingdoms but conquer hearts and restore men back to what they were intended for. An escape from this life marked by anguish, a great fountain of love that flows from heaven's gates awakes us. You can take this world, its joys and its fleeting pleasures, but give us Jesus, our future hope and our greatest treasure. The fulfillment of our expectation with nothing to separate us, nothing to hinder the saints from the greatest expression of adoration. Finally fit with language to describe, but the right words to express the richness of eternal possession, the blessing of inheritance, where God will be seen through purified eyes, purged from the sin that blinded us from viewing God as glorified, where love will be expressed with a perfect affection. Until then, we wait with expectation for all that we will acquire in heaven.
You did everything required to save us and bring us into your presence. So to know you and behold you is our heart's desire. There is nothing higher, nothing greater to acquire. Holy, holy, holy is the song of the choir. Your people sing your praises, gathered from all the nations. We were chosen to be holy and blameless before the earth's foundation. And it's only on the basis of your glorious grace, and we will never grow tired of gazing upon your face and falling before your feet, worshiping at your throne. Your appearance is like carnelian and precious gemstones, like nothing we've ever seen. Your glory never fades, the Lamb of God who was slain to wash away sin stain. We were ransomed by your blood, your loss was our gain. And you live forevermore, Lord, forever you will reign. The King of all kings, name above every name, and everyone who trusts in you will not be put to shame.
shame.
Quiet in Heaven featuring Josh White. I love it. Family, listen, 646-200-3838. Press the number one. Call into the show if you want to speak to me on the air. Half my family's hit me on the phone, calling me, telling me they want to sing this, they want me to sing that. So I got this shout out from my man Gooda from D.C. He want me to sing "Tis So Sweet." This is how we go. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and this to know Him and His words and us to upon His promise and to know the Savior Lord Jesus. Oh Jesus, and how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, how I love You, Jesus, and all for grace trust him more. God bless you, heard? 'Tis so sweet. Yeah, so I want to thank you all for calling in, too, and asking me to sing, because I be wanting to sing all night long. But, you know, this show ain't about me. This is about bringing forth others that's doing their thing for Christ. You already know what I'm doing for Christ. I'm on the air. But I sing, too, and a lot of people know it. A lot of people don't, because I'm known for some good things and some bad things. But we older now. We're doing everything good, you know. So for all of those that knew the old Timothy, the old Scribby, welcome to the new Timothy. Welcome to the new Scribby, because this is how we do it now. G-O-D, all day, all night. Believe me. Give thanks. We got another song by these boys, Beautiful Eulogy. It's called Size of Sin. Now, one of the songs we played earlier was called Size of Grace. This song is called Size of Sin. These boys is doing a lot of work all over the place, man. They working with Brooklyn. They working with California, Manhattan. They working with everybody right now. You're going to start hearing a lot about them, you know. Like I said, don't forget the names is Braille, Odd Thomas, and Cortland Urbano. Cortland Urbano. Yeah, that's what that is. So right now, we're going to get into the Size of Sin, you know. I want to shout out everybody from Hollow Point, everybody from City Park and New Rochelle. I want to shout out the whole Yonkers, you know what I mean, Mount Vernon, you know, everybody, man. The whole tri-state area. Scribby, love you. God bless. Size of Sin.
Grain of sand, but separates between wide ocean and dry land. It's bigger than bad habits. It's a matter of man seeking for God's spot, following in the same pattern as Adam. It's deep-rooted. We're the seed of a broken family tree, branching out limbs of disease. Look at this mess we leave. This weight of wickedness is heavy as lead, trying to catch its descent like stopping a falling rock in a spider's web. Its thin silk thread begins to snap, and all that's left is the residue that sticks between cracks. It all ends with a slip into a bottomless pit. Rips the heart into man's chest till swallowing death. Sipping from the glass of God's wrath and genuine justice. A just judge must summons for infinite punishment. And when applying, we're undeniably liable. The smallest white lie is enough to be indictable. The size of sin so big it causes a cosmic fraction. And hell is the only relevant response to righteous reaction. This is what our sinful actions actually earned us. But God took upon himself the weight of sin reserved for us. A weight so significant that only the blood of an innocent one is acceptable and worth. So rather than make light of it or minimize the size of it, we should marvel at the magnitude of mercy.
Y'all enjoyed them the way I enjoyed them tonight, you know. About the downsize in a little bit, but it's all good, because you know, when we done, you know, it's up to you to carry on with God's word and God's love in your spirit. I told you we're gonna talk about it all day and shout about it all night. Big up to my girl Sandra Dickerson. She's been with us all night tonight. I love her. She's good people. You know what I mean? All your people in Yonkers, I'm sure y'all know her. Rich Dickerson, Sandra Dickerson, good people. You know what I mean? The ones you need to know and love. You heard me? I forgot to shout out Harlem, man. You know, that's where we at, man. 126 in Madison Ave. You know, we there. I forgot to shout them out. I love them, man. Word up. We got another brother named Lecrae. He's another gospel hip-hop artist. He's crazy with it. He's a smart man because he did a joint with Beautiful Eulogy as well, and it's called Misconceptions. We're going to get into that real fast without delay. I just hope that you'll stay tuned and you're not, you know, all my gospel singers, that you're not turning your ear away from this hip-hop gospel, because we got to get God's word out any way we could get it. We got to grab the youth any way we could grab them. You know what I mean? So I know, because this is just world, and I know that there's some people going, I don't want to hear that hip-hop, but come on, man. You don't want to hear your preacher preaching the word of God? Your preacher is preaching the word of God. During the day, he's rapping. You know what I mean? So listen to these brothers. They rapping the word of God. You know, it's real simple. You just got to open your ears, your mind, and your heart. That's all. This next song is called Misconception, like I said. It's by Lecrae featuring Beautiful Eulogy. I like this song. I'm sure you're going to like it. All these songs you heard tonight, you can go to YouTube and type in Beautiful Eulogy, and you can see all the work. Like I said, the album that we're playing tonight is called Instruments of Mercy. That's heavy right there, Instruments of Mercy. And their first album was called Satellite Kite. So go ahead and support those brothers. They deserve our love because they just enlightened us tonight. And I'm enlightening everybody from this point on with Beautiful Eulogy. Please believe that. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Misconception by Lecrae and Beautiful Eulogy.
Misconception. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
Slang came from a land where they suffer from the effects of depravity like gang banging and earthquakes. Most famous, no name, a split of brain and plain a taste for the king of kings. I know it's a strange concept, peddling redemption, boy, what more can I say? Made me a late grave and trying to make him famous, it's an entree. Filling these 58 foot phrases that would deem us unfit to succeed among these heathens. It's so crucial in the belly of the crucible that you would understand that stage like him on his hand, yo. It's handing out cancer, that's why fame was never the aim. And the fact is the front, homie, left side up, that's a con.
Misconception. Those deadly habits have been losing my cool. It's what your frame of mind is choosing. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
Misconception.
Those deadly habits have been losing my cool. It's what your frame of mind is choosing. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
So many misconceptions, missing a mark, misdirected, driving wreck. Listen aggressive, fueled by our false perceptions. Our methods need corrections, spitting venom in the face and violate the ones we should protect. It's an attempt to motivate, neglect our obligations. Place the blame on someone else, point out the flaws in other people and take the focus off ourselves. Those who have been abused view leadership as illegitimate, so they don't think it's necessary to play by the rules of submit. They see authority as nothing more than a power trip, and they don't want to be plugged into it. They'd rather see that power strip, get it, power strip. It's unfortunate, disproportionate. The door is wide open for false teachers to twist the truth and distort it. No examples left to follow, left to all the minds acting foolish but can't see it, so we're wise in our own eyes. The life and crucifixion of Christ is a beautiful depiction of service and submission within a leadership position.
Misconception. Those deadly habits have been losing my cool. It's what your frame of mind is chosen. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
Misconception.
Those deadly habits have been losing my cool. It's what your frame of mind is chosen. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
You probably have it all figured out, right? Like you're the type that believes that if you act right, then that just might make you righteous in God's sight. You've been a really good person. You follow the good book as much as you could. You probably didn't go to church as much as you should, but it's all good. I mean, you never really killed anybody. Never really steal from anybody. You never lusted much or did much touching of any bodies. You never use the Lord's name in vain, and you respect your neighbor. You try to maintain peace, love your enemies, and not hold on to anger. You really believe that you could receive God's favor by your good deeds and right behavior. But you're dead in your transgressions and need a savior. Cause you can never win God's approval or the removal a simple discretion. Your righteous acts of removing God's wrath is in fact the biggest misconception.
Misconception. Those deadly habits have been losing my cool. It's what your frame of mind is chosen. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
Misconception.
Those deadly habits have been losing my cool. It's what your frame of mind is chosen. I'll leave your brain stimulated.
Since my conception, I've been riddled with deception. Televised lies devised to lead a blind insurrection against the resurrection and the greatest misconception. The world believes the Christian is foolish without direction. And they knock it, they knock it. But what is it profit a prophet to be socially ostracizing? No, we ain't stopping to mock it. But if there's anything I can do to raise the stock in the market for a biblical worldview, then there's no longer an option. Here with the humble beast and no subtleties and no tongue-in-cheek, this is what I mean. They don't understand anything about the faith I believe in. They want to belittle me. But it's cool, though. They just know the pseudo, the fake faith, the false one, the Western God that's man-made, and not the biblical awesome. Toss them. Pick up the reasons for God by Timothy Keller and read it. There is a God you should believe in, and his name is Jesus.
It's what your frame of mind is chosen. I leave your brain stimulated.
Misconception.
Those deadly habits have me losing my cool. That's what your frame of mind is chosen. I leave your brain stimulated.
Leave your brain stimulated. No misconceptions. I leave your brain stimulated.
Yeah, man. That was good, man. You know, we want to thank Beautiful Eulogy for coming through tonight on that live concert. You know, that'll wrap that up for them guys right there, man. It was a beautiful thing. I love that, man. We had the title song, Vital Lens. Ah, man, that was a crazy song right there. We might have to bring that back before we get out of here. But my man Moses just hit me. I don't know why he ain't calling the station, but everybody's hitting the jack. My man Moses just called me. He said, Scribby, if you don't sing, never could have made it. I ain't never listening to you again. So this one for you, my man Moses. You know what I mean? But I can't sing it without dedicating it to my girl Sandra Dixon and Rich Dickerson. You heard? That's what it is.
Never would have made it. No, 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 no. I never would have made it, Lord, without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. I never would have made it, no, no, no. I never would have made it, Lord, without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. See, I'm stronger, hey, I'm wiser, ooh, I'm better, so much better. You brought me through. I realized that I made it, and I owe it all to you. Said I never, never would have made it. No, no, I never would have made it, Lord, without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me.
God bless you. Never would have made it. None of us never would have made it, you know, if it wasn't for God. And I know you believe and know that and understand that. I had a song by my man called Weeping, who was on our first show, called John P, a.k.a. John Parker. Let's see if my producers can pull that song up real quick before we leave. Beautiful song. You know, once again, the brother's name was J.P. John Parker. He was on the first show. He's a minister that sings, you know, and it's just a beautiful thing, man. I just got a text from my girl. She said I made her cry, you know. But that's all good. It wasn't me, baby. It was God using me. If he made you cry, it was just God using me. You know, I'm just Timothy, man. And by the way, the album coming out is called Third Timothy. You know what I mean? The group is called DOC, Department of Christ. Look forward next month. We're going to be on iTunes, CD Babies. and all of those things coming near you on your internet real soon. Can I get that song? I'm wondering if my producer's got that song ready for me. I'm not sure. Not sure. Is they ready for me? They might not be ready right now. But God is good. And I just thank all of y'all for coming out tonight and praising God with me and beautiful eulogy and opening your ears and your heart and accepting, you know, hip-hop gospel. Right now, I got my mom's on the line. What's up, Mama? How you doing?
Hi, sweetie. How are you? Sorry I didn't call in earlier. Sorry I didn't call in earlier. I was in church praising God.
That's good, baby. That's what you're supposed to do. If somebody, if nobody else do it, you got to do it.
So I was just calling to tell you I still got your back, still got you in prayer. Keep up the good works.
Listen, Mom.
And I'm sorry I called at the last minute, but like I said, I'm just getting in. So I love you, and I'll talk to you later on.
Your mom.
Yes.
You know what a best friend is?
Yes.
You be my best friend, baby.
You're so silly.
You be my best friend. Word up. I love you so much. Thank you.
I love you, too, and I thank God for you.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, baby.
All right.
Be good.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Barbara Ann Hawkins Hunter, my mama, the lady that gave me birth. I love her. It'll be all over in the morning. There's a feel of nightfall when darkness comes and covers all of your day. Hey, I just got a call from my man from the NFL. I'm going to keep that a secret. We're going to have him next week. We're going to keep that a secret. He just, sorry, stopped my song, but he interrupted me with a text, you know. We all love the NFL. But we're going to have a special guest for y'all next week. Seems like my producers can't find that song we was looking for, but that's okay. You know, the devil's always busy, but he ain't busy enough. We're going to get into this song. We're going to get into... the first song we played by the boys again, you know, and take it out of here with that, called Vital Lens, because that was the song that I was introduced to them by. So we're going to try to get back into Vital Lens one more time. And like I said, man, Crossroad Temple Gospel Show, Scribby right here, a.k.a. Hartley. You know what we do, man, Brother Timothy.
This is a reintroduction plus some practical perspective for those of us indeed who are in need of complete vision correction. The only thing that's required is a lens that's genuinely objective and a minute of your time to wrap your mind around divine perception. Cause even the most mindless and spiritually blind can be the spectator in a theater of God's magnificent design. If you would incline your ears and your eyes to these sounds and these signs, we would attempt to rightly refine and align your crooked sight, but we not implying that a sunset or an ocean can begin to set in mind when the Son of Man began to set in redemptive motion. For morals, meaning, and devotion, heart, mind, and emotion, substance, significance, and truth cannot be explained or reduced to a big bang explosion. Because his character and nature cannot be known through natural revelation, or shown through random acts or figments of your imagination. We, the beautiful eulogy, attempt to communicate audibly and visually to help you hear and see the glory of God clearly. Everlasting, I start where I finish, pick it back up where I left it. I'm just a man of unclean lips, I've only seen a glimpse, but everywhere I look I see his fingerprints. All things were made through him, we received his revelation, so we reflect it when we breathe. And the concepts we conceive are born of spiritual seed, manifest in a material realm as musical composition. The rhythm of heartbeats transformed by the gospel and godly wisdom. I'm an instrument of his mercy, unworthy but still he uses me. The beauty of the eulogy, through his death we are truly
free, free indeed. The condemnation and the bondage of our sin was abolished on the cross, and he alone accomplished it. God made himself known, exposing his own nature and his glory to his Son, the revelation of our Savior, the fullness of God born in human form, deity in the flesh. We need a spirit and the word to open our eyes so we can see correct the vital lens.
Back one last time, beautiful eulogy. That was called Vital Lens. The album is called Instruments of Mercy. You know, I just want you to know that, you know, I got NBA friends, NFL friends, major hip-hop friends, major gospel friends, and they all coming on the show. Like, next week we supposed to have my man, I'm not going to say his name yet, but you know, from rags to riches, riches to rags, back to riches. But he going to be on here explaining how God kept him focused. Last week we had my man Amar Khalil from Tony on here, and he did his thing and blessed us with some good word. And I think tonight it's just only right to end the show with his song. And this song is called Higher. That's Amar Khalil from Tony, the lead singer. And this is his gospel song off his gospel project called Born Again. The song is called Higher. Let's get into it. Higher.
Coming, but they didn't know what to think. They didn't think this could happen. Wasn't really sure of me. I'll try to keep on moving. I won't trip off what they say. And I know that they'll keep hating on me each and every day. I gotta keep moving, yeah, yeah. I keep on praying, yeah, yeah. Gotta stay faithful, yeah, yeah. I gotta get higher.
Truly loved and blessed me.
That was Amar Khalil from Tony, his new gospel project called Born Again. You know what we do. Got another text again. My man just refused to call in the station tonight. So, yo, this one's dedicated to my man Styles from Hollow Point. You heard? He said he wanted me to sing How Sweet It Is. You know, so here we go. How can you forgive me when I've often gone astray? How can you think of me when I do things my way? Turning my back from you, the one who loved me first. Having my own desires, renewing worldly thirst. You told me that you love me and I should make up my mind. You tell me, come back now, but I keep wasting time. Feeling so very weak, you said I can be strong. I feel I've gone too far. You tell me to come home. You love me still. Hey, now I know this is real, and I am running back to you. I see you're standing there for me. Your arms are open wide, and I don't have to cry no more. You're standing there for me, and I am running back to you. Why do I go astray when I know I am no good? I have taken advantage of your love and grace. Forgive me, Lord, and take me home. Take me home. I'm running to you, Jesus. Please take me home. See, I've been on this road way too long, and I can't do right anymore. I'm tired of pain, and I don't like fear. But Lord, I want to be more sincere. I never should have left your side. Return me to your guiding light. I'm running back to you. I see you standing there for me. Your arms are open wide, and I know I am no good when I'm on my own. God. Oh, man, God is good. We're about to call it a wrap, as they say in showbiz, you know, that's a wrap. I love y'all. Thank you for calling in. You know, check my man tomorrow night on Monday, the mayor, you know, with his sports show. You know, thank you for checking in on Crossroad Temple Gospel Show. You know, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. You know, Hartley Housing, Yonkers, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, White Plains, Brooklyn, Harlem, Staten Island, Queens, Long Island. Big up to you. God bless you all, your friends, your family, and your foe. We thank God for the food on our table and the coins in our pocket for our enemies. You know what I mean? We thank you for just giving us another bright and shiny day. We just ask that you just wake us up tomorrow morning to continue to carry on your name, Jesus, and to be a light, a shining light with your name all over it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a beautiful week. Scribby right here. Hartley.
pray for my